Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay. We are emailing back and forth with Roseanne Barr right now, who has said that rich people that don't give up their wealth should be put in re-education camps. Obviously, I want to interview her. And she could come on when we're live. It could be a taped interview. I don't know. She just sent out a bunch of different times to us minutes before the show. So look for that to be popping in any minute now or this afternoon or tomorrow. But boy, I certainly want to get that fish in the boat. Ray McGovern has got an article out saying that it looks like Israel may be greenlighting an attack on Iran. That will sure put the turmoil in the world into overdrive. To say the least, former CIA analyst will be joining us. Also, Freeway Ricky Ross. I thought it'd be good to get him on the last 30 minutes of the show today. Because Mr. Ross, some days it was $40, $50 million a day in cocaine being brought into him to sell into California by the CIA. Gary Webb, the Pulitzer Prize winner, helped expose all of that. Mr. Ross has been out of prison for a while, but they're trying to put him back in right now. He's been shooting his mouth off about government drug dealing. They've been telling him to keep his mouth shut. I want to get his take on Fast and Furious because, you know, it's in the federal court filings in Chicago and other areas, and it's been in the El Paso Times, Houston Chronicle, San Francisco papers have reported on it. Houston, again, has reported on it. The Chicago Tribune has reported on it. But it's just minor footnotes that the DEA, FBI, ATF, and four other agencies knowingly helped them get the tons of cocaine in, Sinaloa and others, the big cartels, and then give them the weapons. And we've now learned in congressional testimony what we told you years ago, it's totally confirmed now, that the ATF didn't just order gun shops to let them set up cameras and track where guns were going. That was just the cover so the gun shop wouldn't get wise. It was ATF agents coming in, buying the guns with U.S. government taxpayer money, and then going and giving it to Sinaloa to knock out the enemy to make sure that $500 bill went directly into J.P. Morgan, Chase, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wachovia, Wells Fargo, and others, who've all on record been caught off and on laundering the cash. So that's what it was all about, because, of course, they could have just had the Pentagon give them the weapons like they did in Southeast Asia or they did in Colombia or Nicaragua, El Salvador, to control the goodies they want to run into your kids' veins and up their nose. But they needed to have the double goody. Because it's more fun to knock out drug cartels, create more of a monopoly, launder the money, control society, and have your kids overdose and get put in coffins. That's fun. That's good for the globalists. But it's not as good. And it's also fun to have the troops publicly on TV admit they grow the opium and supply the fertilizer in Afghanistan and put it on the news in your face. That's how you pimp the public. That's how you just totally break will and get everybody to submit to you. You just bring out in the open they deal the drugs. No, it's more important that while you give the guns to the cartels to knock out the competition, that you blame the Second Amendment. That's always the cherry on top. That's the creme de la creme, the coup de grace. That's the checkered flag. That's the triple crown. That's the trifecta. That's the royal flush. That's the real good part. That's the best bite, as they say. The absolute sop of the gravy is to murder this country and murder freedom and ship drugs in and then use that drug war to take everybody's rights and set up checkpoints and send dumb idiot users to prison to learn how to build widgets and learn how to be good criminals at the criminal universities the globalists have set up, owned by big mega banks that launder the drug money. But then when you get to blame the Second Amendment, man, that's just so good and criminal. So hardcore, and the public loves it. We're going to be right back. We got a big transmission lined up today. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Roseanne Barr, who has called for Americans to be put in re-education camps if they don't accept the new utopia, and for the rich to have their heads cut off, is reportedly, she's talking to Jaron in there via email right now, so she could be on in the next few minutes or tomorrow, we're not sure, but it looks like it's imminent. I certainly look forward to talking to her. Ray McGovern is going to be joining us, former top CIA analyst, morning briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush. He says that the green light, the window is open for a Israeli strike on Tehran and other areas of Iran. Iran has said they're going to then strike Tel Aviv, and we are off to the races. And you notice there's economic turmoil going on, all these riots. The Saudi Arabians are mowing people down. They've gone to the UN, the U.S., and others and tried to get a green light to start attacking Syria the first time in a long time. I'll go over that coming up in a minute. China and Russia have vetoed that in the Security Council. So drums of war are beating in the background and getting louder and louder as the constellations politically and geopolitically align societally for global economic implosion and the birth of world government. As all of this happens, you notice that war is entering the star field here. And we are not in Kansas anymore. You're just going to see things get crazier and crazier from here on out. And the top cocaine dealer for the CIA in California, upwards of $40 to $50 million a day. Pulitzer Prize winning author of Gary Webb, of course, helped expose all that. He's gotten out of prison. Frere Ricky Ross is being persecuted for speaking out about government drug dealing. And they're talking about throwing him back in the Huskow for it, back in the gulag. So we're going to be talking to Freeway Ricky Ross coming up. And for those of you that say he's an evil drug dealer, well, then why is the CIA not in trouble? See, I can't have this dual schizophrenic, hypocrite, crime stop brain like some of you. You see, I'm actually mad at the people that made this illegal, that have energized organized crime in our country, just like in the 9.5 years of Prohibition, that built the modern crime syndicates that really run our country today. And since I went to Hot Springs, Arkansas to research, and I'm going to do a report on this coming up, we've just been so busy, there they are at their local historical centers admitting that the U.S. government, basically with Al Capone, Bugsy Siegel, Lucky Luciano, all those guys, they shipped Everclear out in, quote, bottled water, water cooler tanks to basically U.S. government-controlled, G-men-controlled speakeasies around the country. And then the entire drug war was just to shut down the other speakeasies. The entire drug war, because they made alcohol a controlled drug substance. And that's all that's happening today with Fast and Furious and the rest of it. But this is mainline history. It's just buried. It's incredible to go to the little historical centers there and get the tours, and it's all just admitted in Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's what built that gorgeous town there in the middle of nowhere, was because they decided to run their operation out of there, because most of the gangsters and the Rockefellers and people all had syphilis from, you know, 2 or 3 hookers a day. And, of course, it hadn't been cured there in the main syphilis treatment center, where they even developed some of the modern, precursors to modern cures and treatments for syphilis were carried out there. And they were all there fighting syphilis for a decade. And they said, we'll just run the whole op out of here. And it was like, high five, baby. And then, of course, they later burned Capone and a few of the gangsters because the Rockefellers wanted the full cut for themselves. And at the local historical societies, this is all just absolute fact. There's all these books about it there, and it's all real cutesy. They're not even reporting on this to like say the Rockefellers are bad. They're all reporting on it just like, well, everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. There's actually kind of a cutesiness where, well, that's what built our town. It's kind of funny, you know. Ha, ha, ha. The U.S. government ran the whole thing with the Rockefellers. Who'd you know? They were making $100 million a month in 1920s money. They really know how to run an op, don't they? They really know how to get the job done on the general public. Okay, before I start digressing off here, let me just do this. Let me just go over some of the headlines here. We've now gotten the numbers. Republican White House hopeful Rick Perry raised $17 million in 49 days, Drudge has learned, topping everybody, including Mitt, the carbon taxer, socialist healthcare creator, Romney, who Republicans absolutely have a love fest with because they love being schmucks. $347,000 per day from 20,000 unique donors from all 50 states, D.C., Puerto Rico, Guam, with more than half of the donors living outside of Texas. This is a Drudge exclusive. Continuing, Romney says Wall Street protests are class warfare. Well, actually, the Democrats have tried to hijack the Occupy Wall Street movement and make it class warfare and make sure people don't actually go after the Federal Reserve. I have now, and I'm going to talk more about this later in the broadcast, discovered exactly what happened. It's true that NPR, CBS, ABC, CNN, I was watching the news this morning and my wife's listening to NPR. They are going to these events and picking out the foundation operatives to call for socialism, to call for an end to capitalism, to call for all this. But the general people that are there are pretty much in the fetters, anti-globalists who don't want all this banker bailout to Wall Street. Now, the official, quote, Occupy Wall Street, that's a bunch of foundations trying to organize the people, they have issued their list of demands, and it is George Soros land, socialist health care, giant minimum wages, totally open borders. So our original summation that it was taken over by the big unions and everybody, it's happened. But that doesn't mean that the majority of people on the ground aren't actually informed. It just, the corporate whore media knows how to show up with fraud and declare that the people want socialism and a new world order and all the rest of it. And then that becomes a feedback loop as then the unions and everybody, starting today nationwide, fully take it all over and say, down with Wall Street, raise taxes on the middle class to get the rich guys. And Warren Buffett says, yes, that's how you get me. You raise taxes on the middle class, and then I'm exempt from the tax, and you pay it to me in bailout money. So that's going on. Continuing, Perry is plummeting. Herman Cain is surging. And so they're just putting out another former Federal Reserve head in Kansas City guy who wants a sales tax, a national sales tax on top of the income tax. I told you when they finally got it up to try to pass it, they would say, oh, guess what? We've got to keep the income tax for Social Security at 9 to 10%. And then, of course, they'll raise it later. And, of course, that's why he's got his 999 plan, three different 9% taxes, and then they'll all be raised. That was always the plan. And you were like, no, it will not be. It will not be. You've got to get rid of the IRS. I told you, the IMF and World Bank do this in every country they take over and go into austerity. Okay, I mean, they're following a blueprint. I'm telling you, I've got their playbook. I've shown it to you. I've shown you that I know what they're going to do next over and over and over again. So all of you neocon radio listeners, you got conned again. Okay? Just like you idiot Obama supporters who think, well, the Democratic Party's still good, but Obama's bad. Well, they're really beating the drum now for him to not seek re-election. It's in the Washington Post again. That is the CIA organ of the Democratic Party, and they're saying, step down. We need to put a new, fresh puppet up there to try to fool people. Because we got to get this agenda going here. And then that new puppet can step in with all the emergency powers and the super Congress and everything for them, and then they'll carry the ball down the field, and they'll take that running back out and put a new one in, a Republican. you're watching the game. It's a game. It's a staged event. And then there's a guy trying to get on the field called Ron Paul, who's never played the game, and you're like, oh, no, he's not allowed on the field. Media said so. Here's one of the Washington Post. Opposition to Obama grows strongly. There it is. Opposition to Obama grows strongly. 4 in 10 Americans strongly disapprove how the president is handling the job of president. And then you get deeper into the poll, the vast majority, he's down to almost 25% approval rating when you do it across the board. If you ask him, do you disagree some? So all of that is going on. Real Clear Politics skews Ron Paul poll numbers. We got a report on that. Star Ledger shows how they manipulate that. It's another example of how they try to lower his poll numbers through manipulation. Continuing, Salente says Obama will win if Republicans pick establishment candidate. Absolutely. Ron Paul in every poll is either tied or beating Barack Obama. And in that Harris poll last week, that's scientific, he's really getting a bigger and bigger lead. But again, most blue blood mainline Republicans, they like being conned. For them, it's whoever has the nicest suit and prances around and smiles at the person that introduces them. And then they say, oh, that looks like a good Ken doll. He's for socialist health care. Kind of like that. Yeah, he's for regulating the internet. Ooh, he's for carbon taxes. I like that. I like Al Gore. I think I'll vote for Mitt Romney. Or how about Rick Perry? He's for all the same stuff. But he's got that little cutesy wink he does. So, man, it's fun to get conned. Wow. All right, we're going to come back and get into the big Russia, China, Iran, Syria news. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? Got someone to blame.
Okay, Roseanne Barr is scheduled on this radio broadcast coming up in the next hour and a half or so. She's scheduled to be popping in sometime in the third hour today. And I'm going to ask her, I mean, is it a joke about killing rich people, cutting their heads off? I know she's a comedian, so I want to give her a chance to respond if that was serious, what she was talking about on Max Kaiser's show. So I look forward to interviewing her and hopefully having a serious discussion with her, because it was one of the biggest stories in the country Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Now, here we are on Wednesday. So I look forward to talking to her coming up in the third hour today. Now, continuing here, I will get more into what it means that the Democrats are attempting to flush Barack Hussein Obama down the collectivist toilet bowl. Now, they could still have him rise as a phoenix. And we enter the prime vector area right now. We're entering the zone right now of staged false flag terror. We're entering the zone of absolute economic implosion and panics. We're entering the zone of Israel blowing the daylights out of military sites, and their plan's been out for years, over 200 sites to be hit with smart bombs, bunker busters, super bunker busters, you name it. And Iran is going to go completely ape. There's not going to be any need for the globalists to stage terror attacks. They're going to use asymmetrical warfare and activate Hezbollah cells in Israel and probably in the West, and then the establishment is going to use that as an excuse to clamp things down. Al-Qaeda has reportedly gotten upwards of 10,000 heat-seeking missiles in Libya, shoulder-fired. And, of course, NATO put them in power, but that won't matter when they start attacking with those. It'll just be, we've got to stick our hands down your pants and set up domestic checkpoints because Al-Qaeda got thousands of heat-seeking shoulder-launched missiles. With one of these, a teenager with no training, just aim it, When it starts beeping, pull the trigger with this particular type of heat seeker that Gaddafi had a bunch of. You just drive out to the airport. You can sit there 2 miles from the airport in your truck and wait till planes fly over, step out, and just blow them out of the air all day long. It'll go up, blow out one of their main engines, blow the wing off. It'll be a disaster. Some reports a month ago said 2,000. Now they're saying upwards of 10,000. Shoulder-fired heat-seeking missiles. Turn it on, powers up, flip the eyepiece up. When it starts beeping and goes to a solid tone, it's got its heat-seek, pull the trigger. Heat-seeking missile goes out. Boom! Goes right into the engine. The particular heat-seeker, I looked up the type. They're saying several, but the one they got thousands of can go up to 5,000 feet with extreme accuracy, 8,000 feet with moderate accuracy. So you got your plane taking off over here at Austin Bergstrom, where my office is pretty close to, and whether it's a terrorist or some criminal mercenary they fund to do it or a globalist, they just go out wherever it is in the country, start shooting down airplanes. That would make 9/11 look like child's play. In a matter of minutes, they could say at high noon, shoot down every aircraft that takes off from every major airport. There's planes always landing and taking off. You don't have to shoot one that's even taking off. Of course, you could shoot them as they come in for landings. And then it crashes into the entire airport. Then the aircraft can't land. That's a special forces dream, by the way. The Soviets, of course, trained during a nuclear war to have sleeper cells activate and do just that, go out to airports and shoot down the aircraft, and then all the planes in the air can't land, and it creates total panic. Some of the other special forces tactics the Russians and the U.S. is trained for is how to go up with simple chemicals into high-rise buildings and dump them into the air conditioning system, killing everyone in the building. You know the type of chaos that'll create? You know what a five-man team can do to a major city in 1 hour? Total panic. Buildings on fire everywhere. This is asymmetrical guerrilla warfare. You think the TSA sticking their hands down your pants can keep you safe from that? You think checkpoints outside the airport? Real bombers would just attack that checkpoint. Checkpoints are actually where real terrorists are trained to attack. It's all bull. None of it has to do with protecting you. It's about federalizing all of society. Now, when we come back, I'm going to break down the geopolitical meltdown that's beginning. Stay with us.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I want to get into world news. I want to try to calm down a little bit. I also want to get on to a cryptome.org article we've got up at Infowars.com where they've dug out Apple's subsidiary companies that are actually DARPA. And see, when I say Google's DARPA or Apple's DARPA, I've seen all these documents and read them over the years and seen it in PBS documentaries, little mentions. And then people are like, what's your proof? Well, just go do the research. It's everywhere. You'll find more than I ever found. There's a big article on that. Introducing SIRI, DARPA's ghost and Apple's machine. They always planned, it turned out, with DARPA in the early 1980s with Apple to then have the PC phase out as an alternative, have Apple come in. And the whole time, Apple was actually running programs in the background to try to teach computers to be artificially intelligent. It's funny, my wife called me about this separately. She heard this on NPR. As I got to the office, she was driving around. She listens to it to monitor it and said, they're talking about AI stuff embedded for almost 30 years in Apple stuff and DARPA. And then separately, I get here and it's on Infowars.com about it. And I knew DARPA was involved in the very founding of it, all out of that same group there in Oregon and Washington State. And this is how the globalists control society. They decide what's standardized. They decide when the barcode comes out. 1986, universal adoption, because Walmart and the Defense Department finally said, we will accept no shipments from any vendors who do not have barcodes. And they have big consortiums saying, we, by 2025, major industry in the Pentagon will demand brain chip implanting to have any commerce. And that's in my book, by the way, Descent into Tyranny, copies of the Department of Defense. That came out in 2000. Federation of American Scientists released it. The Pentagon asked it to be reclassified. They said, we did allow that to be declassified. We've decided to reclassify it. And they removed it, but we have a copy of it. It's online as well. And if you're a new listener, I know this sounds crazy, okay? I'm not the crazy people setting all this up. I'm just telling you what they're doing. And they say their goal is to then phase everybody into tanks, virtual reality tanks, from birth to death, and that with artificial reality, you'll never have any pain, and that your own body heat will supply power to the machines. You may have heard of that. Do you think the movie The Matrix, that the Wachowski brothers thought that up? No. That is a Pentagon future war game scenario. Now, I don't know if they're going to actually carry that out, but they're trying to. We're almost to the point of robots working on robots on robots. Humans won't even be needed for the military soon. And then the real tyranny starts with these technocrats who believe, like Kurzweil and others, that they're going to merge with the machines and then the rest of us are going to be obsolete. I mean, you can read these statements. And the leader of this was the genetic experiment, Julian Huxley. He was the leader of the eugenics movement and the head of the UN-UNESCO program, standardizing all global education, everything. He was really the global leading technocrat carrying out the elite's program. He was part of a four family slash British royalty breeding program. I know you're a new listener. Just type in Huxley's part of secret British breeding program. It was declassified in the 60s. It had been going on for over 100 years at that time. Most of the children were born dead or totally mentally retarded, but a few were actually born with super IQs. They were also had a lot of mental problems. You know, his brother in 1932, of course, wrote Brave New World, which you read the book is actually everything they're trying to do now. And he said before he died in 62 in a Berkeley speech, this was actually the plan. You see, you're not in Kansas anymore. 1932, cross-human species cloning, suboid, fluoride in the water to brain damage you. All battle plan, total precision. But they're behind schedule. But they are carrying the operation out with precision. Oh my God, the reality is so much more insane than anyone can even imagine. And we are run by a bunch of inbred, crazy, mad scientists who the big banking families and the Rothschilds, they said, you can give us extended life. You can set up a technocracy. Here's all our money. Here, we'll finance your four scientific families interbreeding starting in 1850 or so. The Huxleys, the Wedgwoods, the Galtons, the Darwins. I mean, this is all mainline history. And then they wrote the blueprint for the plan. And then the great-grandson of the start of this is over there running the United Nations. UNESCO sets the school curriculum, the roads, the standards, everything. And he wrote books. We own them. We have stacks of them in Aaron's office. I have stacks at home. I can't even read them anymore. It's all the same thing said in different ways. That they're going to build a world government. And by the 50s, he said, we're embarrassed by the eugenics. We've got to all change our names. Eugenics Quarterly became this. You know, they changed all the names. And we're going to call ourselves transhumanist and offer people extended life if they merge with the machines. But that'll be for the general public, an enslaving system. But for us, the elites, we are going to merge with this new advanced technology. Now, whether that's going to happen or not, by the 70s, and it was again declassified in 2000, the Pentagon, by the 70s, the early 70s, was envisioning humans as the power system in tanks, running a geothermal system with wires into our brains. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore. And people watch these videos online, millions of people, and millions a week, and they sit there and I see their comments. And they're like, look at this crazy man. I've done news reports. I've shown you all the documents. I'm real busy this week with the Occupy the Federal Reserve movement we're launching. But I tell you what, we'll do a eugenics to the Nazis to transhumanism report. I'll have Aaron do a big one next week. 10 minutes with documents, video clips, all of them saying it. I'll have Huxley, Julian Huxley saying it. I'll have Aldous Huxley tell you. I'll have the charts on their breeding programs, how they're poisoning the water. I'll just give it all to you. How's that sound? And I'll dig out that only way to find it is usually there's like two copies of my book left. Hey, do me a favor. It's behind that camera over there. Will somebody give me Descent into Tyranny? It's over there on the counter. And then it's got a few pages of the full document that's online. I forget the name of it, where DARPA was saying in the 70s to the Pentagon that they were going to put everybody in hive mind tanks. Thanks. I just want to, and again, Descent into Tyranny is not out of print because it's out of physical print. It is posted in full at prisonplanet.tv. And it's sold out. They don't have any more in the back. It's just right there behind that camera. I mean, I can grab it during the next break. It's fine if you guys don't want to walk in front of the cameras. And you know, so much, I come in here to do this show, and it's like, why even talk about Rick Perry? Why even talk about all these people? They're just puppets. Well, you have to respond to the puppets and get into all the minutia. You have to cover all of this, or you can't extricate people out of the matrix. Yeah, here's my book, right here. This is 9/11 Descent into Tyranny, and somewhere in here, I have a screenshots of the document. There's the Wildlands Project and UN Convention on Biological Diversity plan to destroy biodiversity in the United States to restore it by taking over half the land off use. No, it's not that map. There's one of the Pentagon systems talking about microchips and cyber situation. Storyboard from Army document on implantable microchips. That's part of it. And let me have a document cam shot. I'll show people some of this. And then if you go to this full document that I know they pulled off the Federation of American Scientists when they asked to be reclassified, I know it's copied everywhere in the Google Wayback Machines and all those other archive systems. And it says ethical and public relations issue, and it's got the Pentagon talking about how 2025 they'll get all this done. Implanting things in people raises ethical and public relations issues. While these concerns may be founded on today's thinking, in 2025, there will not be so alarming. We already are evolving towards technology implanting. For example, the military currently requires its members to receive mandatory injections of biological organisms, i.e. the flu shot. Yeah, now they got nanotech in it that actually changes brain chemistry. In the civilian world, people will receive mechanical hearts and other organs. Society has come to accept most of these implants as part of fact. By 2025, it is possible medical technology will have nerve chips that allow amputees to control artificial limbs, it's already here, or eye chips that allow the blind to see. The civilian populace will likely accept an implantable microchip that allows military members to defend vital national interests. Furthermore, the U.S. military will continue to be a volunteer force that will freely accept the chip because it's a tool to control technology and not a tool to control the human. And then it goes on in here. I know in the document it talks about these tanks that will live in virtual reality, tanks with a hive mind. Let me keep reading here. Let me keep looking here. Here's Andy Rooney, who's announced he's going to... there's a video clip of this actually in Road to Tyranny. Something has to change, though. They have to find a better way of identifying bad guys, or the rest of us are going to stay home and watch the world go by on television. But we need some system for permanently identifying safe people. Most of us are never going to blow anything up, and there's got to be something better than one of these photo IDs, a tattoo somewhere, maybe. And that's why they're now groping you at the NFL. He was talking about being ID'd at the NFL. Now they just grab your genitals, and their answer is already at the airports. Oh, well, we put you through a face scan, and then we approve you can travel or not. I'll look around during the break and try to find the part where they talk about the tanks. I know it's in the document we reference in the book, regardless. And We'll do a news report on that next week, as I said. The point is, truth is so much stranger than fiction. Now, I said I would said I'd get into this geopolitical news, but first I want to tell you about some of the sponsors that make this radio show possible before we get into Israel openly talking about striking Iran and Iran vice versa. eFoodsDirect.com, our friends over at eFoodsDirect.com are now offering free shipping to anywhere in the United States on all of their products. They do this roughly about every 9 months. I looked it up. Their products for a limited time. There's a lot of uncertainty out there right now with everything going on recently, hurricanes, unemployment, predictions of hyperinflation, and more. This needs to be absolutely a central point. Everybody needs portable food. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Click their banners on our sites or pick up the phone and call 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. And this does end October 9th. So eFoodsDirect.com. Continuing Survival RX. .com, just the word survival and then rx.com. They've been a big sports nutrition company for a decade, and they've developed a triple nitrogen flushing system that allows their vitamins to last for decades and decades. It's proprietary. It's super high quality. SurvivalRx.com. With all this legislation trying to ban and restrict vitamins and other things, it's important to go to SurvivalRx.com and check that out as soon as possible. And lastly, we are now carrying the ProPure water filters and discounting them out of the gates. And you can go to InfoWars.com and click on the online video bookstore / Patriot Apparel area that funds our operation, but more importantly gets vital intel out and key InfoWar weapons to everybody. We also have this super high quality, the next generation. They've been out for a few years, but I've been testing and searching and trying to find the best, quite frankly, for my family. And have settled in on the Pro Pure. You can look at it against the leading competition, and it just blows it out of the water. Pun intended, stainless steel spigot, not leaky plastic ones. That's Pro Pure, and it's all available at InfoWars.com. Discounted even more than the factory wholesale supplier. So price check that for yourself. Pro Pure, the latest generation. What my family uses, available at InfoWars.com, or you can call here and order at the office and ask any questions, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. By the way, they are having an EcoFest run by the Austin Chronicle owner, Lewis Black's his stage name. And they're now starting an eco-fest, I guess, to figure out ways to take over society and shut down select power plants and other things. And we're going to be reporting on that coming up. Every day or so, I see articles like this. This is out of the SJ Journal, the Springfield, Illinois State Journal Register. And it says the main plants to close in Ameren to close and the Hudsonville plants under new EPA regulations, they are shutting down two of the major power plants and getting rid of the employees. And that's just the way it is. You can go read this article. I want to get into this later. And again, every day without looking, I see the power plants. The head of the Energy Department told the Wall Street Journal, in February of this year, he said, you're going to see massive power plant shutdowns. In fact, let's just prove that to people. Google, head of Energy Department, we're going to shut down massive numbers of coal plants. And Obama promised to bankrupt them, but not all of them. General Electric, if it's their plant, they don't have to follow the old rules. They're totally exempt from everything. And if you hire General Electric to take over the running of your plant, you're fine. Now, all these other plants, now General Electric's got to agree, though. You can't be in competition with one of their others. So I thought I would cover the Austin Journal's report from the State Commission's own admission. Corporations will only have a 13% increase, and government is exempt, so more total discrimination. And here's the headline. Austin Energy's proposed rate increase garners speculation. And it goes on, 13% rate hike starts stirs mixed feelings about users. But they say it's for the earth, so it's like an indulgence. 500 years ago, you know, you'd pay the Vatican money to get your child that died out of purgatory or whatever. You pay Al Gore that now. But they shut down a lot of the power plants here that were city-owned that we paid for. And then overnight, the prices have already roughly doubled on average the last few years, last 5-6 years. But now to 28.7 increase for citizens, 13 for corporations, governments exempt. Just like government buildings are exempt from blackouts. Let me continue. Just like in Romania they were under Ceausescu. But Austin Energy has outlined an increase that's actually 60% on citizens. If you use above a certain amount, it goes to 60. So the smart meters gang rape you. They promised they wouldn't, but of course they are going to. We'll get into the World War III news straight ahead.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. Interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. A woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
Okay, we're back live. I want to get into the whole Iran situation and more. We do have Roseanne Barr scheduled to be joining us. Ray McGovern's popping in for Ricky Ross on government drug dealing and more with Kevin Booth. Now, the entire society has been set up to make us dependent. And when the IMF and World Bank, both foreign consortiums of the global six megabanks, when they take over your country, they double and then triple water and utility. That's their big tax. And then when people riot over it, that's even better. They call that the IMF riot. That got leaked in 2002. They like that because that destroys confidence even better. And then they just put in president after president. It doesn't matter. The bankers are in place. This is done all over the world. This is a strategic rollout plan by the Federal Reserve here domestically, part of the larger world banking system. But I just wanted to show you out of Austin Metro paper, and they have links to the Texas Energy Commission and others admitting this. The headline's a 13% rate hike starting in the next year. But when you read, it's actually a 28.7% increase. When they average them together, but it goes on to say corporations pay 13% more. Citizens on average 28.7, but wait, it gets better. Here's the highlighted part of it. This is directly from the Austin Energy Cost of Service Study. And they put one of these out, last year, and talked about $3 billion it's going to cost Austinites in the next 3 to 5 years. I mean, we're talking about bigger than the entire budget every year combined. Just absolute theft. Here it is highlighted for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Austin Energy. Here, I'll just show it to you right here. Right here, see, folks. I'm going to try to show people a document cam shot. Just like right in here. Or just wherever we can show it. Yeah, right there. The residential segment. Austin Energy has outlined 4 increased rate options. See, your options are this form of robbery, that form of robbery, the other form of robbery, or this form of robbery. And it goes on to say, depending on how much you use, you'll be penalized if you use too much. Just like people that use more water, higher rates kick in. 60% higher, or as little as 5 if you're a good little greenie. In comparison, commercial and industrial users face a charge as high as 22% or as low as 1%. And then the big corporations know how to fill out all the paperwork and red tape and get out of it. So what does this have to do with the environment, just charging everybody more money? Going in, having regulators shut down the smaller companies, then there's less power companies. Now they can charge whatever they want and make Enron-type profits every day of the week. It's the same thing Enron did 10 years ago in California. They were making billions of dollars of extra profit a day in some cases. And if you go and talk to environmentalists in Austin, you tell them, hey, they're about to massively increase our power prices. They've already increased over the last few years massively. And they'll say, fine, it's for the earth. Carbon dioxide is deadly that plants breathe. Yeah, but they're moving the industry to China where they have dirty, clean burning coal. So it's one world. More of this gas, if you hate it, it's getting out. Along with real things that are bad. They're like, I don't care. Shut it down in America. They love it. They just love watching everything fall apart. They get off on it. These are miscreant, spoiled, rotten children of hippies who now want everybody's guns and love evil and love Al Gore raping them. I mean, they love it. They get a little giggly face. They hate families. They hate private property. They are literal unhappy scum that want to ruin all of our lives. And they're shutting power plants down all over the country. And that's why your power bill is going up.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two. I want to take some calls. If you're part of Occupy Wall Street and you don't like the mainstream media misrepresenting you as a bunch of Obama lovers, or maybe you do love socialism, or perhaps you're a neocon who thinks we should pay unlimited trillions to foreign banks and that that's a good form of welfare, or if you agree with my analysis of the situation, which is fluid because it's a complex issue, I'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. The phones are open, and I'll take some of your calls coming up in the next segment. I seethe with disgust and pain to watch our country going into economic bondage, to know that the favorite tool of tyrants is economic bondage, to make people so poor, living at such subsistence level that they won't stand up against tyranny. Because they can't. And to see oppressive secret police agencies and police brutality being backed up by the system to intimidate the public. Regardless of what you think of Occupy Wall Street, it's filled with good grassroots people who are standing up against corruption and are identifying in a general way the problem. Wall Street did set up the CIA. That is the captains of it. They did set up the private Federal Reserve. And they are destroying our real economy and using a corporate scorched earth policy. And so I've got to commend Occupy Wall Street overall. I've also need to point out, though, the Democrats are basically trying to co-opt it, just like I wasn't attacking the Tea Party that Ron Paul started when I pointed out that Republican mainline people were trying to take it over. I was just stating a fact there. But now that I've had reporters in San Antonio, in Austin, in Jacobson's in New York now for 3 days. He's coming back tomorrow night. And he says almost everybody is against the Federal Reserve and really knows what's going on. But yeah, he sees the same news I see where they go, hey, Occupy Wall Street. What do they want? Higher taxes, socialism, all this stuff. And then you go talk to the people. That's not what you're hearing. And Kurt Nemo has a big report out dissecting the Occupy Wall Street list of demands. And it's bad. Totally open borders, $20 an hour minimum wage. That'll send every job we've got left overseas, folks. Do you know what that'll do? I mean, you won't get a job. And their answer is, doesn't matter. Pay everyone, even the unemployed, $20 an hour. And you realize half the public pays no income tax now. You realize everything would ultimately collapse. They want totally free college, period. Not debt forgiveness on loan sharking rates or something reasonable. No. No. Just free education, period. Who are you going to take from to pay for that? Demand 7, $1 trillion in ecological restoration. That means giving Al Gore some money to lecture us. Demand 8, radical and gender equal rights amendment. And just basically make 5-year-olds learn how to, well, you know, what they do. Demand 9, open borders. Migration, mention that. 10, bring American elections up to international standards. Paper ballots, that actually is one of the only good ideas. So, and then there's one other one in here Kurt thinks is a good idea, and I tend to agree with him. Immediate across-the-board debt forgiveness for all. What about global corporations and stuff? That's what we've done, is forgiven them their mega debts of derivatives, and then taxpayers have to pay for it. Somebody loses something when you do something like that. Forgive fraudulent loans, yeah. Make the bankers that did this pay, but claw back those trillions. But don't just say, oh, well, I don't know, own my house anymore. It just goes on with a bunch of nanny state stuff. But then I read all this carbon tax stuff. Oh, it's just incredible. Oh, boy, these poor people. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are 8 minutes into hour number two, and Roseanne Barr is scheduled to be joining us coming up for 30 minutes in the next hour. Ray McGovern's coming up in about 25 minutes from now, former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, their morning briefer. He will be joining us to talk about the geopolitical ramifications of Israel saying they may strike Iran any day now. Let me get into some of that news and then into your calls. Russia, China veto UN resolution on Syria crackdown. Russia and China today vetoed a UN Security Council resolution drawn up by European nations threatening action if Syria's leader does not end a deadly crackdown on pro-democracy movement. It is the first Russian-China veto since the pair blocked UN sanctions against Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe in 2008. That is a big, big deal. Continuing here, are you going to see the West call for military action against Saudi Arabia? Don't hold your breath. They're doing the same thing that Assad's doing. Saudi police open fire on civilians as protests gain momentum. And that is certainly a real rebellion over there, but the West will try to hijack that. I won't cry myself to sleep if the House of Saud falls. Probably some of the most degenerate people on Earth, the leadership of that group. Continuing report, Assad threatens to attack Tel Aviv in case of NATO strike. So Assad is saying that if Syria is attacked by Israel, he will strike the capital of Israel. No, the capital, I guess, is Jerusalem, their main populous city of Tel Aviv. And, of course, Iran has said off and on that if they ever get attacked by NATO or the West, that they're going to blast Israel, knowing that Israel has been pushing for a Western attack. They've got inspectors in their nuclear reactors in Iran. No reason to attack them. No reason. Their leader will be out soon, and they'll have a more moderate in there. I mean, we do not want to start this. But notice the West wants to start this right now because it's a good political diversion from the economic meltdowns that are happening. Continuing here, here is Consortium News article by Ray McGovern. That's why he's joining us. Israel's window to bomb Iran. This is an exclusive from his intel sources. Israeli leaders continue to pound the drum about taking out Iran's nuclear program, and some headliners may want to strike soon. Some hardliners fearing the window of opportunity will close if President Barack Obama wins re-election and is less susceptible to political pressures, as ex-CIA analyst Ray McGovern observed. We got him popping in. So we're going to get a breakdown on that coming up. And Israel is saying they may strike anytime. And Syria is saying that they may strike Israel if NATO bombs them. But for now, it looks like that's off. The West is just using proxy rebels to try to overthrow the Syrian regime. Again, this isn't a real rebellion of the Syrian people against their dictator. I'm no fan of Assad. I'm no fan of government. I'm no fan of big government, of dictators, of hereditary stuff, of Kim Jong-il, of any of this, of the Bush family, hereditary garbage, kings, queens, all of it. But this is the West stirring it up in Libya, stirring it up in Syria, stirring it up against their old ally, Mubarak in Egypt, and you have to ask why. Well, it's order out of chaos. They're just creating a big crisis. So that is coming up. Let's go ahead and go to Dana in Alabama. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Good to talk to you again. How you doing?
Good. Welcome.
Hey, look, I just want to tell you I appreciate you standing up for the truth that you've consistently on a couple of big lies that are going around this world. One of them being the rapture. You know, when you know the truth about a couple of things, it changes a lot of things. But look, there's another bigger lie going around that most of the world believes, that really your response won't be adequate today for what I'm fixing to say. But when you think about it, tomorrow, next week, you'll see what the truth about this subject changes. You had a rabbi on 2 weeks ago that is the new head of a organization promoting Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, no, Jews of Preservation of Firearms Ownership, really super hardcore Second Amendment, done a lot of great work really exposing what gun control is really all about.
Yes, I heard repeated mentions of this thing called Jewish law. I am not an anti-Semite. I am a brother of Judah, but there's one big lie in this world. God never made a covenant with the tribe of Judah. There is no such thing as a Jewish religion. It's not to be found in the Bible. That covenant was made with all of Israel, starting with Abraham, and he was Judah's great-grandfather. This stuff about Abraham being a Jew is hogwash. He was Judah's great-grandfather. No way was Abraham a Jew. This covenant was made with all of Israel. Israel got deported. Judah got let go back to Jerusalem. And by default, they were the keepers of this covenant with Israel. And it became known as Judaism. There is no such thing as a Jewish religion. And what people are calling Jewish law is if they've taken it from the Bible.
I'm not a super Bible scholar, but I mean, certainly what people call Jews has different camps and ideas, but it goes back to I guess, Abrahamic law, then you would say, that is the basis of the three great religions. You know, I really don't get into arguing back and forth about different groups and different organizations. There's a diversity of ideas. In the quote, Jewish groups. But I do know that you're right, that it talks about a bunch of other tribes, and they've done genetic tests all over the Middle East, all over Europe. Everybody's basically related to each other one way or the other, and that's what's so stupid about all this tribal killing. I appreciate your call. Send me an email with more of what you're getting into there. Let's go ahead and take another call. Let's go to John in Michigan. John, welcome.
Good afternoon, Alex. I'm a new listener, full supporter, patriot such as yourself. I'd like to comment on the Occupy Wall Street movement. I believe that the initial movement and the directive of the initial occupation was a correct endeavor. I believe that it has fully been scripted, though. I think that's why the mass arrest, the 700-plus protesters, the protesters not being allowed to actually even go to Wall Street. This just reminds me a lot of an Arab Spring-type scenario. You seem to have the socialist aspect of it, where everything is paid for across the board, as you were stating earlier. Everybody gets $20 an hour for regardless how menial your job is. Everybody gets free education. Everybody gets free healthcare. Some of these things are bordering to me, of reeking of what is going on with the arid spring, which is getting rapidly ready to fall into the arid winter of discontent. And I would like to hear some of your views on it.
Well, no, that's it. 2.5 weeks ago, I saw that Soros, MoveOn were involved. I noticed the media, the dominant corporate media, was only showing the Yale leaders calling for free healthcare and stuff and the re-election of Obama. And then I sent reporters out and found that's not what most people are saying. So, yeah, the people behind Adbusters, they're Democratic Party operatives. They put the call out. Patriots and others show up. And the Democrats swoop in and say, we're anti-Wall Street, and that's their new re-election bid. George Soros has said he supports them. The unions are out in force. SEIU and others are out there, and that's exactly what it is. And then good people that are at these events, they send me emails and say, hey, we're not supporting this. I know, but the media uses the demonstrations as the backdrop to then have selected people speak for everyone who then basically call for the globalist austerity repackaged as a program to redistribute wealth. And it does redistribute middle class and working class people's money to offshore banks, the same program we see in Europe. And so that's what's going on. That's what's happening. That's why it is such a big deal. And I shot a video last night. I'm going to put another one up tonight. It's the featured video on our YouTube channel. It's now rolled off the main page of Infowars.com. I'm going to have that reposted. But Occupy Wall Street. We need to get them to occupy not capitalism and some vague thing, but occupy the Federal Reserve movement. And just Google Occupy Federal Reserve movement launched, and you'll get our videos, you'll get our articles, you'll get the maps. I'm calling for people to occupy the sidewalk and areas around the number 11 of the 12 banks, one of the head Federal Reserve banks. I'm asking people to stay there at least a week. I will be there and speak for 2 hours. I will then go speak the next day in Houston at noon, the next day 10 a.m. for a couple hours in San Antonio. And then I plan on picking around the country one of the Occupy Federal Reserve ops that kicks in and works good. And I will go to that, and I'll send reporters to other events as well. So this is it. I need everybody to be there in Dallas 6 o'clock this Friday. It's countdown, folks. We got to. You know, I really should be promoting this more, pushing it more, because it's going to be a big deal. And it's a work in progress. If you go to Infowars.com, it's red linked on the front page. We have the headline, Targeting the Real Enemy, Occupy the Fed. And we have a video there from last night's nightly news where I break down why we're doing this and what our goals and demands are. It's criminal investigation of the banking cartel. It's the abolishment of the private Federal Reserve, the reestablishment of constitutional money under the control of Congress. But overall, it's about saying, forget demonizing capitalism. Forget demonizing anybody who has a dollar more than you. Let's talk about the inside monopoly men. So I'm asking you, go to Infowars.com. We're going to have another article and video out tonight as well. And get that article, Targeting the Real Enemy, Occupy the Fed. Now, I talked to Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers. He's asking his members to occupy the Fed, to go to Occupy Wall Street events and say, hey, folks, it's the Federal Reserve. That's the big group masquerading as government. That's where your bailout money went. That's where the austerity's going. That's what's cutting your pensions. That's what's stealing everything. And they're going to sell all these new direct taxes to the bankers as socialism. But they always bait and switch and steal it. So whether you're liberal, conservative, whatever you call yourself, the Federal Reserve is bad news. And the polls are 85% a few years ago wanted to audit it. It's 80-plus percent now want to abolish it in polls I've seen. We have got to go after the real enemy peacefully. And we're going to go in circle. They've got sidewalks around this thing. I am going to show up for 2 hours, 6 to 8. I'm going to try to get there actually earlier. See, I was going to do the show here Friday and then get in the car and haul tail up there. And my mother called me and she goes, I know you don't pay attention to sports, but it's Texas OU weekend and I-35 will have a lot of traffic on it. And I've been up there in college for Texas OU. There won't be that bad of traffic in Dallas. The point is you want to come into Dallas, wherever you're at, and get there. So quite frankly, I'm saying it's already out there, you know, 6 to 8. That gives folks time after work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area to get out there. But I'll probably actually be out there 5:30 or so. I'll do a special broadcast over the audio streams and at prisonplanet.tv from the RV near there. I'll do a report from there. I'm going to do my radio show basically from nearby or at the grounds of the Federal Reserve. I guess I could set up a picnic table and have the cops come over while I'm on air via Skype. And, hey, leave me alone. I could walk around with the laptop there. I mean, we're going to do a lot of stuff. So I'm actually leaving Thursday night to go up to Big D. And then I'm going to leave Friday night, and hopefully there'll be a bunch of you there, more coming. If you can't make it Friday, come Saturday, come Sunday. If 10 people sit out there in sleeping bags, you're going to get a lot of media attention. I've had Dallas Morning News call. Other publications are emailing and calling. This is getting a lot of attention. And we're going to say, hey, occupy Wall Street, occupy capitalism, just call for socialism. And by the way, Kurt Nemo's written the article. They've got the official Occupy Wall Street group. I guess they speak for everybody. They certainly don't speak for me, calling for all of these different forms of socialism here, free education, open borders. This is Democratic Party stuff right here. Dissecting the Occupy Wall Street list of demands. We need to go out and identify the real enemy, the crony inside monopoly men. You have no excuse, folks. This is going to be historical. It's going to be exciting. We've got to get out there. And if 100 of you stay the night there and camp out, okay, you know, bring a pillow you sit on, whatever. If 100 of you do that, I'll be on air covering it. More and more will come. Media will cover it. It will pick up steam. It's going to be huge. And then I'm going to go to Houston. Then I'm going to go to San Antonio. Then I'm going to come back to my radio show. And then I'm going to scan things and send crews out to events. If it really builds up steam, I'm intending then to roar up to Dallas and broadcast from up there next week. But it's up to you to execute this, all right? It's up to you to pull this off. I don't want you behind me. I want you beside me, and I want you in front of me. We're all in this together. You know, there was a fellow we're going to get on tomorrow that's now was on the Napolitano show. He interviewed Dylan Radigan down there. He's getting all this media attention. He was the guy that called in and said, hey, I went down there by myself, and the cops were waiting for me with my baby. And they said, well, you call for people to show up, and hundreds did. That made the news. And then it turned out the police were spying on in the Fedders. And now he's all over the news saying this movement's really about ending the Fed. So see, that's what one guy did. You're as smart as I am or smarter. You are under the same gun as I am. If you love your children, you've got to be there. I don't care what state you're in. Get to the Dallas one. We need one place where it's really big. And if you can't get here, your Federal Reserve area in your area. And I'm so busy doing the show and everything. I need to reach out to the Dallas and the Fed folks. Been trying to find their number from years ago when they invited me up to speak. We want you to be there. Everybody, come Friday. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Okay, to be clear. And if you go up to Infowars.com, this article just came out. It's confirmed what I told you back over the weekend. Occupy Wall Street stands in solidarity with Obama Front Group. Why is the official Occupy Wall Street website in league with lobbying efforts for Wall Street-backed Obama White House? Now, this is the issue. Obama ran on fighting Wall Street corruption when he was totally bankrolled by it. Are we saying John McCain's good? No. It's all out of the same elite. Just like Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, all of these people. Only Ron Paul has a true constitutional voting record, and that's why he's demonized. That's why he is attacked. And am I saying all the protesters are bad? No, these are great people coming out because they know Wall Street is bankrupting this country through derivatives and bailouts and offshoring. But we now have the official Occupy Wall Street list of demands, and it's free education, free health care. I mean, this is the Soviet Union. We're bankrupt. Socialism doesn't work. Crony capitalism doesn't work. But the idea that a bunch of mega rich getting government bailouts is capitalism, so we should scrap private property, is dangerous. Now, we're on the streets. I've got my reporter, Rob Jacobson, up there. He's been filing videos. He's found some MoveOn.org people and others, and they're the ones trying to run things, but they don't run it. So the mainstream media is just going to them and letting MoveOn, the Obama people, speak for Occupy Wall Street. And their answer is raise taxes on the middle class and pay it in austerity payments to foreign banks. And these billionaires running around lecturing everybody about how they need to raise taxes on the rich. That's because they're exempt from it and want that money. So get this article out to everybody you know. Occupy Wall Street stands in solidarity with Obama front group. We are occupying the Federal Reserve in Dallas, Texas, camping out around it to draw attention to the real inner group that uses crony capitalism monopoly to take over society. This Friday, 6 o'clock, it kicks off. I'm going to be there. Bring your sleeping bags. Stay there. I'm going to drive around to other Federal Reserve outfits and then come back. And on top of that, we need you wherever you are in the country to go identify the Federal Reserve. And it's already happening. Call the media. Make sure they're there. Alternative mainstream, you name it. Now, shifting gears, during any type of economic crisis, the establishment's going to try to launch wars. And you've got Saudi Arabians being gunned down now, but the West isn't too concerned about that. You've got NATO and others talking about wanting to go into Syria. And you've got China and Russia vetoing that in the Security Council. That's a big deal. I'm not a fan of Syria. The point is, we don't want more wars, ladies and gentlemen. You've got Israel talking about going into Iran. You've got Assad of Syria saying if they're attacked by NATO, they're going to attack Israel and take that as an attack. And Ray McGovern, writing for ConsortiumNews.com, that's why we got him on today, we appreciate him joining us on short notice, wrote the headline, Israel's Window to Bomb Iran. Ray McGovern is a retired CIA officer turned political activist. He worked under seven presidents. He was the top morning briefer to Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. And, of course, he famously confronted Rumsfeld on WMDs and that he'd lied and said they knew where they were in and around Tikrit. And then Rumsfeld got caught lying. And he's given a lot of speeches at George Washington University. Well, he confronted Hillary Clinton there and got drug out and arrested. And he joins us now. We appreciate you coming on, Ray.
Thanks, Alex. It's good to be back with you here. Before we start, let me just issue a little demural. Tomorrow I will be with thousands of others on our own Tahrir Square in Freedom Plaza in Washington. There will be thousands of us. And very much like the Wall Street protest, we're a popular movement here. The revolution has begun. I compliment you for what you're doing down in Texas, but I don't see any real reason to cast aspersions on other movements. And the Wall Street group seems to be the real deal to me. Now, I don't want to argue the point, but I think that we need to have unity these days, especially as the revolution begins. And what I heard you say there just forced me to kind of give you.
Well, Ray, I love it. I mean, I love it when people bring up counterpoints and. Obviously, you didn't hear what I've said earlier, so let me give you the depth and breadth of what I'm saying. The White House has announced, MoveOn.org has announced, all these organizations have announced, this is basically their re-election bid, that they're going to try to take it over. And the way NPR, CNN, and MSNBC cover Occupy Wall Street is basically them calling for wealth redistribution and class warfare. So I'm nonpartisan, and I know about pressure from above and below. The Republicans say Wall Street can do no wrong. You know, the Democrats are acting like they're not financed by it and basically, you know, saying off with their heads and stuff. And we've got Michael Moore running around saying capitalism is the problem. Well, capitalism didn't do this. A bunch of insiders ripping us off to this is a criminal matter. And so I agree with you that this is grassroots. The cops shouldn't be attacking them. I've got reporters there. I'm saying there is an attempt by the big unions and everybody to make this a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democratic Party, just like I talked about the Tea Party being grassroots and Republicans trying to take it over, right?
No, I agree with you completely. What I don't see is that, well, that's actually where you come in. That's where the independent media comes in. That's where the internet comes in. We can prevent this takeover. We can't prevent what Fox News or CNN says, but we can and we will, mark my words. We're going to shut down this place, Alex. And when we shut down this place and the Washington Post can't get to their offices and the CNN can't do their thing here, people are going to have to take notice. And we owe nothing to Move On. Move On has been a great disappointment to me ever since 2006 when they wouldn't shout out with me as Nancy Pelosi and Reid were pompously saying, oh, you know, we're doing the right thing. They wouldn't impeach Bush, and that was a travesty. That was where our democracy really fell down. So Move On has got nothing to do with this as far as I'm concerned. This is a real grassroots movement, and, you know, I hope you're all, like, glad you have people on Tucker Square here in Washington, and I just am very, very enthusiastic about that, and maybe I'm hypersensitive to early signs that there could be any division in this movement.
Listen, I want to prosecute the Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, all the people that knowingly sold derivative crap. Mm-hmm. I want to claw back the bailouts. I do not want austerity to cut everybody's benefits to pay money into a derivative black hole.
Yep.
And I want to audit the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, I want that too, but what I want even more, Alex, is I want to repatriate the 58 cents on every dollar of tax money that we pay. I want to take that out of these feckless wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and wherever else, bring them back and tell the American people, look, you've been sold a bill of goods. It's not that we don't have enough money. We have enough money. It's just being given completely, or at least 58% worth, to the Pentagon. So once we repatriate that money, you don't have to fire your teachers anymore or your firefighters. You can balance your state budgets. That's the big notion.
Are you pleased by Rand Paul keeping his promise as a libertarian conservative and calling for $500 billion cut in the Pentagon budget?
Well, I sure am. I admire even more his dad, because his dad speaks truth. And when he talks about, you know, how people need to reflect about why, you know, the real reasons why 9/11 happened and how we're looked at by the rest of the world, and then he gets booed for that. Well, I'd really admire Ron Paul for sticking his neck out there, because he speaks truth. So, yeah, the Pauls, I think, are doing a pretty good job. I don't agree with a lot of what they say about domestic things, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I think it comes down to this. Look, we don't want the controlled left anymore. We don't want the controlled right. We want real constitutional populism, mm-hmm. and we should come together. And I want to be clear here. I am in 100% solidarity with people protesting the corruption of Wall Street and their out of control behavior and their kleptocratic activities. I'm simply pointing out there is an attempt by the establishment left, the ones that love the wars and all the rest of it, to try to take this over. And that's what I've said. I am not saying overall it's bad or it's evil. I'm simply saying this is what I believe is important, and people can take my view or leave it. I'm saying let's go after the Federal Reserve, and so I'm trying to put my two cents in to what I hope is a second American Revolution, a peaceful one of ideas. And when you see Goldman Sachs give $4.5 million the day before the Occupy Wall Street to the NYPD, and the NYPD breaking people's arms and beating people over the head and pepper spraying women, Officer Tony Baloney, that's not a joke, folks, that's his real name. You know, that is wrong, and even the Chinese can now, the communist Chinese leadership is criticizing, is saying, when we crack people over the heads, you get upset. So America is losing its moral authority. What can you say to that?
I think I agree with 99% of that. The only thing I wish to stress here is that we have the power as the people not to let the professional left take this thing over. We have been critical of places like Move On because of the timidity about the wars, and we, the people, the ones that are converging, I'm waiting for the delegation from the state of Minnesota to camp out in my backyard tonight, Colleen Rowley and the rest of them. We're going to not let ourselves be taken over, and I think the folks in Wall Street are doing the same thing. They're right two blocks away from Goldman Sachs, and today is going to be a major, major demonstration with the involvement of not only thousands of students, but trade unions. So I think we got a really good thing going here, and I applaud your role in it, Alex. But I just want to say that let's see how it unfolds. Call me back in a month and ask me, Ray, were you able to prevent the professional left from taking this over? And I think I'm going to be able to say, yes, I was. Yes, we were, Alex.
Well, I agree. From what we've seen in New York, in San Antonio, where we have reporters and other places, everybody there has transcended party. They understand the corruption of Wall Street through the intelligence agencies running the country, robbing everybody. They understand that, and they're not run by the professional left, as you call them, and it's really exciting. What I'm saying is mainstream media, who's losing their credibility, as you said, they are running this hoax that everybody basically, you know, just wants free education or something, instead of about going after these corrupt monetary behemoths that are out there. But shifting gears away from that, we've got big issues. Like you said, all these new wars, and you talk about the stars lining up for Israel to go into Iran. Where do you see that going?
Well, I think we're at a particularly perilous moment here, and there's lots to be said about this. One is, the former head of Mossad, the Israeli External Intelligence Agency, he said back in May, look, attacking Iran would be the stupidest thing I've ever heard, end quote. Now, why would he say something like that? And why would he repeat that same line just 2 days ago? Well, the reason he's doing that is because there is an active bunch around Netanyahu that would very much like to take advantage of what they see as a spineless United States president in an election year and start a war with Iran and automatically, and I stress automatically, involve the United States in it. Why? Well, because Israel deathly needs something to divert attention from its strategic losses over this past year. They've lost Egypt. Now, this is no small thing. Egypt has 72 million people in it. Israel, what, 6 or 7 million?
They lost in Lebanon 4 years ago.
Yep, they lost in Turkey by their frivolous, by their stupidity in killing 8 Turks and 1 American on that first flotilla. So, and, you know, the Palestinians, a lot of them now, have adopted Martin Luther King's tactics of nonviolent resistance, and they massed around Israel's borders on the anniversary of the Nakba earlier this year. So Israel is in a new situation. I would suggest that it's in a more dangerous situation, more isolated than ever before. And so they need something. They need something to demonstrate that they're still real powerful.
Now, by the way, you have sources all over Washington, but what you're saying is mirroring what Panetta said just a few days ago. And so are you saying this from your own analysis or sources or just reading what the Israelis are saying that they are moving towards a green light attack on Iran?
Well, Panetta met with their defense minister twice now within the past week, okay? This doesn't usually happen. I think he's afraid, and I think he has good reason to be afraid, that Netanyahu, looking at our president and knowing that our president is not going to buck the Israel lobby, the Likud lobby, over the next year when he's running for president, they look and they say, you know, this is probably our best window of opportunity to show the whole world that we have a staunch ally and it's the most important and the most powerful country in the world. Netanyahu said this explicitly in his Meet the Press interview 2 Sundays ago. And so, you know, this, in their view, they will not only give a bloody nose to the Iranians, set back their nuclear program forever, but they'll demonstrate to the world that they still count for something because despite Egypt, despite Lebanon, despite Turkey, they've got the real powerful card in the hole. And that
we just lost Ray. We'll get him back on. I guess a little phone troubles there. Of course, you don't think that guy's got the establishment tapping his phone, do you? They did not want that information getting out, or perhaps it was just a phone going dead. It's just so annoying. Regardless of what side you're on in this, I'm neutral. I'm sick of it. I just want freedom. I want to be left alone. The Iranians are going to go absolutely wild when they get attacked. They're going to start attacking Israel. The United States is going to be drawn in. NATO is going to be drawn in. In the middle of all these uprisings, you know the globalists are going to stage attacks, or Iran is going to launch an attack. Ray, you got cut off there.
Yeah, it wasn't NSA, I'm told. It was just somebody dropping the phone.
Okay, good.
So, you know, it's just it's a conjuncture of events. Besides the law, that, of course, we know now that the Israelis have been given bunker buster bombs, okay? Now, what conceivable reason would they have to get bunker buster bombs? They were approved by Bush. They were granted 55 of them by Obama. Now, those things are real good for destroying heavily concreted, or whatever you call them, fortified underground sites. Now, could they decimate the nuclear site at Natanz, where they're refining uranium? No, they couldn't. But if they went through the same hole, if four or five of them went through there, yeah, they probably could. Or, you know, Israelis have nukes as well. So this is a very, very dangerous situation if that's what they intend to do.
Well, they're also decapitation weapons, as you know, for destroying command and control bunkers. Stay there. Let's look at what, briefly, we don't have much time left, with what will happen, because the breaks go from bad to worse, if Iran is attacked. Obviously, all you-know-what will break loose, which will be a nice political diversion here at home as well. Ray McGovern's our guest. Roseanne Barr is scheduled to be joining us in the next hour. That should be interesting, to say the least. Then one of the top minions of the CIA shipping cocaine into California, Ricky Ross, out of prison, is going to be joining us. We'll look at Operation Fast and Furious. It's not just guns to Mexico, it's cocaine back in. That's the big smoking gun that's in the federal court documents that Eric Holder hopes we don't talk about. We're going to talk about it. Ray McGovern, we've got him for a few more minutes. He's got his detailed article that goes through the nuances of it at Consortium News that I mentioned earlier. When you've got the defense secretary running back and forth, meeting with the Israelis and coming out and saying they're isolated, and the news saying they may strike, and McGovern says that's the intel he's got, and we're talking about the potential to start World War III, but regardless, it's going to make things really bad. And you're saying the Israelis think they've got Obama where they want him, and then I guess blackmail or whatever, he'll do it?
Well, I asked someone yesterday, an expert on the area, Alex, I said, you know, what do you think of this line of analysis that that Panetta is going to persuade the Israelis to hold off and not do this kind of thing? And he's, oh, yeah, Panetta will probably tell them. And I thought, wow, you know, yeah, right. They're going to, Panetta has panache, so to speak, that our president doesn't have. Our president has told the Israelis, you know, please don't build any more settlements. Please don't attack people on the high seas. And what do they do? Well, there's a gesture that Netanyahu has used. It involves a thumb on the nose and waving fingers, okay? So the notion that if the Israelis see it in their interest to attack Iran or start a war with Iran, that Panetta, by his intervention here, will be able to sell them a bill of goods, you know, that stretches credulity for me. So what has to happen and what won't, I'm afraid, is that the president himself has to call up Netanyahu and say, look, Bibi, the game is up here. If you think I'm going to support you when Iran retaliates against you and me for starting a war, forget it. And I wish the president would do that, but it's not in his genes. It's certainly not in his backbone.
But the Pentagon doesn't like it. Fox Fallon, as you know, didn't like it 4 years ago and had to step down because he wouldn't launch an attack. I mean, when the military, who, you know, on average like wars, that's what they've trained for, it isn't wanting to do something, that's because they know it's not the, quote, quagmire cakewalk of Iran or somewhere else of Iraq. It's Iran, and it leads down a very dark, dark road. And as you said, how are they going to spin it when Iran, with asymmetrical warfare, blocks the Strait of Hormuz, turns sleeper cells loose in the West. And, I mean, how are they going to spin it when Iran strikes back? I guess they'll just call it terrorism. We bombed them, and they struck back. That's bad.
Yeah, well, you know, the rhetoric will sound that way, but you point out well, you know, Admiral Mullen, who just retired, and I very regret he just retired, because he was the strongest on this. He came back several times from Israel and said, we told him, please don't do this. Don't do this at all. It wouldn't be a good idea. And somebody asked him at a press conference, well, you know, if they blocked the Strait of Hormuz, you could open it up, couldn't you? And Mullen sort of swallowed hard, and he said, oh, yeah, we could. Well, how, you look at those cliffs on the Strait of Hormuz. What Marines do you have available to scale those cliffs, you know? And how are you going to avoid all these little PT boats, each of which has a...
They lost 1.5 million Iranians. They're going to human wave attack. They're going to be dug in. It's going to make the Japanese look like a cakewalk.
So the question really is, what about this successor to Mullen, okay? Now, who is this guy? He's a guy put in place by Bobby Gates. Cartwright, the fellow who should have got the job, was too independent, spoke out his mind, told the president that Afghanistan, for example, was feckless. Who is this new guy? Is he the sort of pliable kind of guy like others?
Well, Ray, listen, we're out of time. I'm going to have you back up in the next few days or maybe next week in the aftermath of the demonstrations. Thank you so much. Ray McGovern, we'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, she's on the show. The one, the only, Roseanne Barr. She's an American actress, comedian, writer, television producer, and director. She worked doing stand-up comedy until 85 appearance on The Tonight Show, brought her to the limelight. She is most famously known for her role in the ABC hit sitcom Roseanne, which ran for 9 seasons from 88 to 97. Barr won an Emmy and a Golden Globe, a Kids' Choice Award, and 3 American Comedy Awards for her part in the show. And on January 4, 2011, she released her third book titled Roseannarchy, Dispatches from the Nut Farm. And so she's gotten a lot of national attention in the last week. And there she is on the book cover for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, dressed up, I guess, like Che Guevara with an AK-47 with bombs dropping behind her.
No, it's not Che Guevara.
Who is it?
It's all of them. It's every despot in the world, including Rush Limbaugh. That's what the cigar is for.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So you're not saying communism's good.
No, I'm for the creation of an entirely new economic system. Entirely
well,
new.
Well, Roseanne, you have got the floor then. Tell us what system you'd like to establish.
Well, one that works. I'd like to establish a system that actually is based on solutions to actual problems that exist in the world, rather than the exploitation of those problems for the enrichment of a few.
Okay, tell us, then you've got the floor. Tell us what the problems are and then what some basic solutions are.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the problems are that we don't think, we're not thinking outside of the box, basically, and we need to get out of our mind control program and come up with solutions to problems that exist in the world. Number one, hunger. We have to come up with a way to get the food to the hungry. And if you saw, you know, which is like something that I think about a lot, and, you know, a lot of people smarter than me think about, too. And a lot of people smarter and dumber than me don't think about that ever. And, you know, so I just think it's something that we should call attention to. Actual problems of actual human beings instead of systems that don't work and obsolete ways of thinking about things.
Why did you agree to come on this show? Max Kaiser sent us an email over, and then when we were contacted, and I was flattered. Why did you agree to come on this show? I mean, I would imagine you're getting asked on thousands of programs.
I've just listened to you a lot, and I think we have a lot that we agree on, and there's a lot that we don't agree on also. But I really think that Americans and people in the world should start concentrating on things that they do agree with each other on so that we can arrive at solutions a lot faster.
Well, I think...
So, you know, I mean, we don't agree on a lot of things, obviously, but we do on others, so why not?
Sure. Okay, well, then just so my audience can really... Because that was my idea today. I wanted to get you on and not just yell at you or disagree. I wanted to say, were you serious about this quote or what's your true view? I mean, the real Roseanne Barr. But before we do that, because we're going to come to break and come back and some stations join us then, what are some of the things you disagree with me on? Because I'm curious.
I don't know. Why don't you ask me some questions?
Okay, the Second Amendment.
Better.
The Second Amendment.
Well, you know, we probably agree there. I agree on all of the things that already exist. And, I think that the only thing we don't agree on are economics. Isn't that true?
Sure. I mean, if you believe in the right to keep and bear arms and defend yourself.
I have guns. Hell, yeah, I have guns, rifles. Hell, yes, I do believe. Absolutely believe
okay,
that.
Well, when a woman starts saying hell, yes, about guns, I'm starting to find you really attractive right now.
I'm a hell of a shot, I'll tell you that. I've always had a gun. I've always had a rifle because I'm a farmer. You know, I've always been attracted and loved farming since I got enough money to afford a farm, which was when I did the Roseanne Show. I've always had
Roseanne, we got to go to break. Long segment coming up. Wow, this is dynamite. Roseanne Barr is on with us, and I learned she's a listener. And Jaron, by the way, is a big fan out there. He's out there bowing down right now, saying he's not worthy. We'll be right back after this quick break with Roseanne Barr. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Well, not one to shrink away from controversy, Roseanne Barr, who needs no introduction, on Max Kaiser's TV show over the weekend, said, hey, re-education camps for the bankers, if they won't pay more money in taxes, if they make over $100 million a year, or off with their heads. And so when we found out she was a listener, and we were excited to get her on, and I was talking to her during the break. She says she even posts our videos and things on her own blog when she agrees with us. So we're going to explore all of that today and find out, is she serious about the things she said, and let her basically elaborate on it. So, Roseanne, one of the biggest stories in the country was your statements. Would you like to expand on those or clarify them?
Well, you know, I gave a speech on Mother's Day last year in front of the White House where I, announced my candidacy for President of the United States of America as well as Prime Minister of Israel. It's a twofer. And it was based on declaring patriarchal politics obsolete, and I called for the dawn of divine matriarchy to descend to the planet. So that's kind of the context in which I spoke all of those things. But, you know, it's like I said last segment, Alex, I'm for a completely new way of looking at things congruent with a whole new century. So I just want to leave everything behind that doesn't work, which is basically everything, and start something new that actually does work and actually has, you know, a time limit to when problems can be solved. Like, so I said that within the first year of my presidency that I would legalize marijuana and end all wars, make war illegal, forgive all American debt and student loans. And, you know, I made some big statements, but if I am elected president of these United States, I will guarantee those things within the first 100 days of my presidency.
What about your statement specifically? I mean, we could play them again, but elaborate on re-education camps, chopping off.
Yes. Well, I was talking about the people, you know, the people, the taxpayers of this country as well, you know, as the citizens of this country, have a right to seek justice for what's been done to them. And people everywhere in every government, all citizenry, demand justice and a system of just laws that they can actually exist under. Am I right?
Yes.
So I was saying that, you know, when an entire country has been fleeced and robbed, there needs to be a different set of there needs to be a different kind of justice that doesn't allow for that and that actually punishes the guilty. So my statement was, you know, to explore what is the definition of guilty, and it means being tried in a court not heavily weighted in your favor as now. Like, none of these bankers are being arrested. And if, you know, like, beside Martha Stewart, who's the only person who's ever been arrested for any kind of, like, insider trading. But, you know, once they're arrested, they would actually be tried in a court of law that they have not bought and paid for. So that's kind of what I'm, you know, pointing out, the way things actually work in our country. So, I'm trying to speak about a new definition of guilty, and it's like the worst of the worst of the worst of the guilty, you know, need to pay a price for what they've done.
And specifically, were you serious about people that make a cap of $100 million a year? And
no, total wealth, $100 million. There's absolutely, in my opinion, there's absolutely no idea to... no reason for anybody to be a bigger pig than to own $100 million. It's pig. It's just a pig culture that allows people to starve in the streets and other people have $100 million. I believe in normalization of economics, absolutely.
What about people like Michael Moore, who I've read is worth around $200 million, constantly lecturing people that capitalism itself is bad? I mean, what do you think of Michael Moore, A, and his statement that capitalism is the problem?
Well, he's a very dear friend of mine, and, in many ways, I agree with a lot of what he says, like you, Alex, and in a lot of other ways, I don't agree with many of the things that he says, because I'm not just about dogma. I'm for human beings being able to speak to each other, particularly when they don't agree, and come to a solution somewhere in the middle. But yes, I would take his wealth if it's over $100 million. Although I would be more forgiving towards Michael, because I know how many people and how many organizations he does support. So, I would make some allowances. I mean, it isn't just, you know, I wouldn't be, like Stalin or anything.
Well, there's always people that make...
I wouldn't take all of Oprah's either, because she does good things. Like, you know, if people were doing good things with over $100 million, besides figuring out, sitting in little cubicles and figuring out how to move numbers so that they can steal more money, I would be more forgiving towards them.
My issue is Michael Moore is calling for a middle-class tax increase. Then that money is stolen and paid to bankers and banker bailouts. So when I talk to the classical mainline left out there, I try to explain to them that big socialist systems actually get financed by the offshore banks because they can then take control of the government and steal that wealth.
I absolutely agree with you on that. And like I say, and people should know, I consider myself left of some and not left of others. So I'm more of a person in the middle, whatever works.
Now, what was this point about re-education camps?
That's for bankers. That's for the guilty, because I wouldn't want to immediately behead the guilty who've stolen like the entire wealth of communities and created poverty and terror within every community on earth that they've gone to, and devalued the currency and then brought about food shortages shortly after. Because I'm a compassionate human, I would allow them to like actually go and be re-educated. It wouldn't be straight to the guillotine. It would be to the guillotine when they are found guilty and do nothing about it and try to continue. Then they would be beheaded. So I think that, you know, I have it laid out to be as fair as anybody's ever been.
All right. So you're definitely not an anti-death penalty person.
No, I love the death penalty. And I just wish that we would use it against the guilty rather than the innocent. It seems like we rush to kill a lot of people who are, you know, not proven, like Troy Davis. I mean, a lot of people wonder if the guy was innocent or not in a flawed system, but yet Casey Anthony walks free. So I just think that we need to rethink everything so that it makes sense and that it's one rule of law that applies to everyone, whether they're rich or a priest.
Okay, let's take your book cover for a moment. You are dressed up. It looks like Che Guevara with a cigar. And earlier you said, no. The cigar symbolizes...
Go ahead, Alan.
No. Tell us what your book cover means.
Well, I guess that it might, my meaning there might have been lost. But it is about all despots. You'll see, there's the Mao in there with the red star and the whole... it's about all male despots that I'm kind of like taking over for. Getting rid of them, bringing me on. A Rose Anarchy, if you read the book, is full of solutions to, everyday problems that people face in a comical way.
I never get one, because I see this on the street with some of the anarchists. They dress with communist stars on and call for communism, but call themselves anarchists. And I always wonder why that's the most popular combination. I would think it's communism is pretty much the opposite. I know they say in the end game of communism, the state withers away, but that never seems to happen.
That's true. But in Rose Anarchy, it would definitely not need to wither away because it would the state would not even exist.
Roseanne Barr is our guest. Roseanne,
I think mothers and grandmothers, Alex, they know how to run neighborhoods, and that's what Rose Anarchy is about. It's about female intelligence, which is always overlooked, and none of these politicians ever listen to anything that women do. And women are problem solvers, and that's what I'm for, putting women in positions of power where they can actually solve problems rather than exploit them to be able to get at women.
Now, would this be a dictatorship of women?
No, just a dictatorship of me. And I would be, I would call myself the titular head of the grandmother's tribunal that would, bring in, a world of solutions from top to bottom.
Now, where would the guillotines be located?
Probably in the public square, right in front of the White House, I think is, that's the people's, the center of people's politics, so that's probably the best place, and that's a real nice park there.
How many heads do you think would be chopped off?
Not too many. I think that once they knew that there was ultimate justice headed their way, that they would really change their tune, and, I think that people should be forced to share and forced to care, I really do. And
Now, wait a minute, though, because I understand this is feminine, divine goddess stuff that you're offering us.
Yes.
What I'm trying to get at here, though, Roseanne, is Stalin and Mao and all them, they were making people share. But I mean, how is this going to be different then?
Oh, well, because, it will be smaller groups of people taking care of each other, instead of like one huge monolithic, unbendable bureaucracy that does nothing but rob people.
Sure. Let's shift gears for a moment, if we may, and you can bring up any subject you'd like. This is riveting information. What do you think of Obama and his Wall Street connections? I've never seen stronger ones. You may disagree. And the field of Republican candidates.
I'm thinking of running as a Republican. I'm just telling you that because I think that everything I say isn't that much... weirder than the things they say, which was kind of my point. But Obama, I did not vote for Obama, and I knew that Obama got more Wall Street money than anybody ever had gotten before, and that I was really scared because a large percentage of the money he got came from nuclear power, corporations that have to do with that. So I was horrified by that, and But, I mean, we have to have somebody as our president.
What do you think of Jesse Ventura?
Myself, because I think I'm better than all of them.
What do you think about Jesse Ventura, or is he bad, too?
I love him. Actually, I really love that guy. Do you like him?
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, but he has huevos, though, and you're saying this needs to be a woman thing.
No, I will allow males to serve if they have half a brain in their head, and I do think that Jesse Ventura has... more than half of a brain in his head, so I would allow him to actually serve our structure.
Well, that is, thank you.
Because he has a lot of ethics, too. I interviewed him, when I did a radio show also, and, before he got his television show. He's just a great thinker.
He is really a nice guy, and he's more of a libertarian, though. I don't know if he'd like a dictator, but...
Yeah, but I'm a different kind of a dictator than the ones before. I'm a good dictator.
I understand. The first in history.
Yes, absolutely. The first in history.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. What about Ron Paul? What do you think of Ron Paul?
You know, I kind of, like, again, there's just so many brilliant things that he says and stands for, and I agree with most of it, but I don't, you know, the libertarian thing, I don't know. I don't see any real feminist subtext to any of it, so I'm not.
I just think he's into freedom for everybody.
Huh?
I just think he's into total freedom, period. Just freedom, period.
Yeah, but it's too much freedom for rich people, and I just think, like, you shouldn't have a lot of freedom to rip off. You shouldn't have the right to have the freedom to rip off the wealth of the entire community.
Yeah, but Ron Paul would say they were able to do that because they controlled the government and used that monopoly of force. Now, let's talk about Hank Williams.
I don't disagree. I don't completely disagree with that.
Let's talk about Hank Williams Jr. He the full clip, he said 89% want to fire all of Congress. I don't like any of the Republican candidates. And he went on to compare, he didn't say who was Hitler, but he said Benjamin Netanyahu and Hitler, like Boehner and Obama. Do you think he should have lost his Monday Night Football gig over that?
No. I don't think anybody should, I think we should have freedom of speech. The guy, he made a lot of people mad with that. But, you know, a lot of people need to get mad. A lot of people need to be more offended in this country and wake up. I mean, they've been lulled with their Prozac and their Zoloft into just this complete slack-jawed, drooling, apathy. So anything that wakes people up and, you know, pisses them off for a minute and gets them their brain reengaged, that's a good thing, I think. I don't agree with what he said, but I understand the spirit in which he said it. Because I've been drunk a lot, too, in my life.
I understand. Let's talk about 9/11 truth. You say you've been a listener for a while, and we know governments staged the Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam, and we know that Hitler blew up the Reichstag to set up a police state and go from an elected leader to a dictator in Germany. So we know governments and corporations stage things to blame it on their enemies throughout history. So I don't think it's crazy to then question the official story of 9/11. It has a lot of holes in it. Roseanne, yeah. What did you think the day of 9/11? And since then, what is your view of that tragic event?
Well, you know, I'm for, like, you know, I definitely think we need to keep investigating it until everybody's satisfied that they've heard the truth. So, you know, but I agree with a lot of the stuff that truthers, as they're called, say, and I don't agree with a lot of other things that they say.
Do you agree with? I mean, like, Building 7, we have police saying, get Mac, they're going to blow it up, and then there's bomb blast, and it falls at free fall.
Yeah, I know all that. I mean, I read all the stuff about that, too, and a lot of people always send me, you know, a lot of information that I post on my blog, RoseanneWorld.com, about it. So, you know, I don't know. But I think it's definitely worth a huge look. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Oh, I know it was a completely synthetic, manufactured event. Our government just gave al-Qaeda control of Libya and gave them thousands of heat-seeking missiles and are already saying they need to invade Libya from the liberators they put in, and then I've got to let the TSA stick their hands down my pants or grab my wife's breast or molest my children, or al-Qaeda's going to shoot a rocket at me. What's your view of the TSA?
Oh, it drives me out of my mind. But, you know, it just drives me out of my mind. But I don't want to go get I don't want to go through and get the radiation because, I mean, I'm an old woman. So, I mean, I've been radiated so many times, mammograms, teeth, I don't need any more radiation. I don't think any more citizens do either. So I always opt out and inspect you by hand. But, you know, I always kind of think that it's kind of cool that I do that so that people can see it happening to me. So I kind of offer myself and just stand there because I just want Americans to realize that is happening, that they do grope old women and, friggin' wake up and look at it.
Well, I know that I won't fly with my family because of it, and now they're trying to set up domestic checkpoints. They grope everybody from the ankles up to the neck to get into an NFL game.
I know,
now.
And then they tell you, too, they go, now I'm going to use the back of my hand to touch your genital area. I won't use my palm. It's just so friggin' ridiculous that I actually kind of, I mean, I hate to make light of it, but we kind of have to laugh more. Because I think laughing things to scorn is really powerful. So I always just stand there and everybody, hey, look, there's Roseanne from, or else they think Rosie O'Donnell, and she's getting felt up. I mean, I just think that the more visible we can be, the better.
Now, you've got several websites. You've got RoseanneWorld.com, and you've got some others, too.
Well, I'm on Twitter, The Real Roseanne. But, Alex, let me ask you, who do you think, seriously, who do you think took those towers down?
The military-industrial complex with private corporate rogue networks inside of it used drills to confuse the rest of the government as a cover and staged the events of 9/11, the few real phone calls, not the fake ones that were confirmed to have not have been made, but the real air phone calls by the stewardess people were reporting gas that was knocking people out. So they got on board, they nerve gassed them, they had the hijackers who were U.S. government agents who we know are training at U.S. military bases to take part in drills. And, you know, James Woods had been a few weeks before on a flight with them doing a hijacking drill. And so they got on board taking part in a national level exercise. They were nerve gassed and remote control flew the aircraft in the buildings.
Dude, why would they do that? Why?
To blame Iraq and launch a war there and get trillions in oil, trillions in weapon sales, to go into Afghanistan, $500 billion a year in opium, have the troops up and grow it, as they now do, and to set up a domestic police state and overturn the Bill of Rights and Constitution.
Okay, I think you nailed it.
So you agree we should have a new investigation of 9/11?
Of course.
What do you like that truthers say? You said some of it you like, some of it you don't.
Well, you know, I think, you know, I just have a broader view like you do, because really what you're saying and what I'm saying is that, you know, power is just being concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. Isn't that what you're really saying?
Yes, the centralization of power.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, like it can't be more than, what, about 50 people?
Yeah, there are less than 20 families that pretty much have stolen the whole planet, and they've got 6,000 superclass, as they call it, that serve them.
I totally agree with you on that. Would you like to, let's name some of those people. What do you think, I call them Monsatan. What do you think of the Monsatan family and what they're doing to food?
Oh, yeah, Monsanto is one of the most wicked companies, probably the most wicked.
Did you know they're a family, a Southern American family?
I did know that it had some founding family roots in it, but Roseanne, this is too much here. You've been gracious with 25, 30 minutes with us, and I know you've got other things coming up. We've got to go to break. I already skipped one. Could we come back and talk about Monsatan?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
Because I'm a farmer, yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about it with Roseanne Barr on the other side, and then Freeway Ricky Ross, who trafficked drugs for the CIA. He's coming up a little bit after that. We'll obviously have to do some overdrive today with Ricky Ross. It's all coming up. Roseanne Barr is our guest right now. We'll call this the Off With Their Heads episode of the radio show. Stay with us.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Ricky Ross is already scheduled to be with us. We pushed him back. What a wild show. Ray McGovern, Freeway Ricky Ross, the big CIA drug trafficker, biggest in history, makes fictional characters like Scarface look like a choir boy. And Roseanne Barr on with us, and to learn that she's been listening to the show for years and that she's into the Second Amendment. Now, Roseanne, I
understand. You know, a lot of people confuse, like, you know, a lot of people confuse me with Rosie O'Donnell, who's also a friend of mine, but she's for gun control, so, you know, she did a big show on it, and they're like, I get a lot of email from people going, I hated when you told Tom Selleck, and I'm like, dude, that was Rosie O'Donnell. I'm poor gun.
Well, you don't look much like her, so I don't know why.
Well, we're both named Rosie, so that's kind of, you know, it's a lot of people in this country, that's all.
Well, that brings me to my next point, and then I want to get into GMOs with you, and we'll let you go and hopefully have you back up, because I know you're a busy person. But you just hit the nail on the head there. Half the people in the airport or whatever think that you're Rosie O'Donnell, not Roseanne Barr. So I understand a lot of this is satire, but I don't.
Satire, you know, satire just offers people a different and deeper way to look at things. So it's not like baseless. The things I'm saying are not baseless, even though there's a satirical edge to it, of course. But I mean, these are real things that we really need to look at about a different set of justice for the American people and for bankers. We really need to look at that.
Yeah, but here's what I want to tell you. The what? Bankers, if you read Tragedy and Hope, written for the CIA in the 60s, they actually use a form of collectivism to get us dependent and to destroy the middle class so that they can control us. Just like you during the break, you were saying the key is the breadbasket, getting people back on the land, farmers. I agree with
yes,
you.
Absolutely.
Everything these bankers do in their New World Order is about making us dependent. That's what Monsanto is about, where
that's
your
right.
seeds won't generate new seeds. So
absolutely. That's why I moved to Hawaii, where I have a farm now, because that is ground zero of, you know, the University of Hawaii is ground zero for experiments by Monsanto on alfalfa and other things that actually destroy native crops. It is just so horrifying. So horrible that they would be feeding the American people plastic, and we don't even have a choice, and they're arresting people for growing vegetables, and this is not a joke, they're arresting people for growing heirloom seeds and vegetables, nutritious food in the United States of America. Are you kidding me? This is definitely the time that we need to look at who is in charge of what, and, you know, get rid of all of the people in Congress and all of government who do not serve the American people. So in that, we totally agree, right, Alex?
Yes, we do agree, and the tyranny is just getting crazier and crazier.
It's completely insane, completely insane. These people are sociopaths. You know, they're just, you know, I can't even believe, like you, I can't believe how they have slipped into positions of power where, you know, they're feeding us, I'm serious, they're feeding our kids plastic junk. They're trying to turn us into cyborgs or something.
No, they are.
I don't know.
Wow, you just hit it. The globalists, the social engineers admit, they want us so poisoned, just like Monsanto wants to infect all the major crops so that you don't have a choice anymore, and then you've got to have scientists come in and, quote, fix things with their
right.
patents for the life cycle, just like they have the chemtrails doing weather modification and in Hawaii and other areas, aluminum's going off the chart. Monsanto's
barium.
Now coming out with a whole, and barium, they're coming out with a whole line of now aluminum-resistant crops so that
right.
you have to buy for Monsanto, and it's the same thing. They're
that's
poisoning
right. what
our...
About this? What about the spraying? What about the chemtrail stuff of spraying barium to you know, kill our food?
Totally
get
true.
Get rid of our food.
Give us your view on chemtrails, geoengineering.
Well, it's just, you know, they're poisoning us and our food, and it's all about that. It's all about that. So, like I say, it's the exact same people that are, you know, getting all the power into their hands, all the power for food. Next is privatizing water. I imagine they'll do air after that. I mean, if we don't stand up now and do something together and find a way to agree with people instead of, like, we can't 100% agree, and this is me and you, Alex, we can't 100% agree with everything that each of us believes, but we can 75% agree, and we'd better do it. We'd better find a way. Or Tea Partiers and liberals and lefties and whoever, we better come up with a solution and all get together and use it.
Well, expanding on your cyborg comment, just like they want to take over the biosphere and make us dependent on them for food, they admit they want to make us so sick that then only super technologies can keep us alive. Patenting.
You know why? But also because of peasant insurance, because bosses take out insurance on their workers, and then they can poison them and get a payoff when they die. You know, people really ought to take a look at how the insurance companies work, you know, to help steal everything from communities in this country, too.
Wow, you know, it did come out that Walmart and others, you think they're hiring that elderly person as a greeter because they care about them, and people say, how sweet. They have actuaries where they hire the most old and most sick. They right. know statistically when they're going to die.
That's and they, right, and then they get a payoff. And that's exactly why I'm talking about, you know, Rose Anarchy, because of the fact that my generation of baby boomer women, those are... We are the guinea pigs for all of those crazy experiments, and now our daughters too, with, you know, those Rick Perry forced wart, what do you call them, injections?
Yeah, Gardasil. That was my final question.
They are just using my generation of women as guinea pigs to try to figure out different ways of killing us because they're psychopaths, and then they get a payoff every time one of us dies. They get a payoff.
Well, Roseanne, you're absolutely right, and we have the documents where they put the cancer viruses and the polio shots. They're still doing it. Rick Perry lying and saying it's the law to take the shot when it doesn't even protect you. Guaranteed, Rick Perry will hear about this. What's your message to Rick Perry?
My message is to everyone in power, with very few exceptions. I mean, there's some people. It's a big F you.
Well, I figured that it was part serious, part satire, what was on Max Kaiser. So before I really went after...
I really think that there are people who deserve to, you know, they deserve the ultimate punishment because they're so horrible and so hideous and sitting there living the way they do, taking those payoffs from people, from like making people sick. I mean, you don't think that they deserve that?
No, but I'm just saying the way you talked about it and the cover of the book and the way the media spun it, that's why I wanted to have you here.
Alex, do you agree with me that, like, there should be the ultimate, that these people who are that horrible, that they do deserve just exactly what I said?
Yes, yeah. Bayer Pharmaceutical was convicted in France, didn't get in trouble anywhere else.
Nazis.
Knowingly, yeah, they actually were Nazis, shipping yes. out blood tainted with HIV and hepatitis.
You don't think that those people deserve the guillotine?
No, I think they should, after a jury of their peers, they should be hauled up and then they should be sent to prison. They should be executed.
Well, we totally agree then, and I'm talking about the guilty, the worst of the guilty.
Yeah, but I don't think we re-educate them. You can't re-educate somebody that knows for a decade they're shipping out blood that is a death sentence to little hemophiliacs. I mean, their memos went public. They did it on purpose, and the people that did that should be given the death penalty. Of course they should die.
Well, then we totally agree, don't we?
I mean, you can't let vampires like that run around in the light of day. You got to put.
I do call them vampires. I definitely do, and I say the good thing about vampires is that light. The more light we can bring, the faster they die off.
Well, look, the media did take out of context what you said, and I wanted to find it, because I'd seen some things you'd said I agreed with over the years, some that I didn't. I wanted to find out really what you wanted to say. And I really appreciate, Roseanne, you coming on the show. And hopefully we can have you back up from time to time.
I love it. I'd love talking to you more. And thanks a lot for having me.
Roseanne,
nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. There goes Roseanne Barr. Wow, that was amazing. And coming up in a moment, we're going to have Freeway Ricky Ross on with us. Wow. So a listener to the show. And obviously we agree with a lot of things she has to say. We disagree with some. But... that was satire with Max Kaiser, the re-education camp stuff, the people dressed up in Mao outfits. I figured that was satire. We'll be going into the fourth hour today with Freeway Ricky Ross, if he can do it. And it's fortuitous that Ricky's on right now, because they're trying to put him back in jail for going around and doing radio interviews. He's been told, don't do radio interviews anymore. Don't be politically involved. Don't talk about CIA drug dealing. Don't try to put community organizations together, or we're going to spin that and put you back in prison. So he's facing that after decades in prison. He was the biggest narcotics trafficker in West Coast history. And Gary Webb's Pulitzer Prize-winning piece, Dark Alliance, exposed it was for the CIA. And, of course, Gary then was planning to come on my show soon. He had his new book coming out. And they shot him twice in the head and killed him, and it was ruled a suicide. And now Ricky joins us as a free man for now, and along with documentary filmmaker, Showtime film producer of American Drug War that I consulted on, Kevin Booth. And I appreciate Kevin contacting me to let me know this was going on so we could get Ricky on. Ricky, we appreciate you having the courage to come on this radio show today.
Well, you know, Alex, you give me the courage. When I see people like you do what you do, it gives me the courage to stand up and do what I know that I'm supposed to do.
Well, you do have a lot of courage, and I'm not going to sit here and judge you for a man who saw prohibition of narcotics as a way to make hundreds of millions of dollars as a young person. You've admitted it was wrong today, but the larger crime is the people that made them illegal to create the giant black market. Now, here you are all these years later. Geraldo Rivera goes to Iraq. They admit the troops are growing the opium, giving them the fertilizer and shipping it out. Now they can't hide it. They just admit it. They now admit Sinaloa cartel on the U.S.-Mexico border ships in tens of tons a month for 5 years, totally authorized. And then the ATF ships them guns, goes back before Obama. They're not getting in trouble. But we're told you're the bad man, and now they're trying to throw you back in the slammer. Tell us what's happening with you, and recap for folks that don't know who you are, your story, sir.
Well, you know, I grew up in South Central. I was illiterate. Was trying to do the right things, you know, just looking for an opportunity. When I was coming up, jobs were rare. You know, Reagan had cut out all the programs that had once existed in my community that my brother had the privilege of getting. So there was no job. So basically what I was doing is just walking around the neighborhood looking for an opportunity. And I went to a guy, and he happened to be a drug dealer. And he told me, you know, what his plan was for me to make money. And I bit into it, and next thing you know, I'm making millions and millions of dollars, sometimes $3 million in one day. And, I mean, I got hooked on it. You know, I didn't know at the time that the dangers of drugs. I had never seen anybody hooked on crack. You know, that was the beginning of the crack era. So, you know, I was pretty naive to what was going on.
But that was before the crack zombies. But just to be clear, I've read news reports that it was upwards of 40 or 50 million a day. You're talking about the raw value, but is that incorrect, what I've read in Esquire and places, that you were bringing in 40, 50 million sometimes a day?
Well, this is what I took in. Now, when the people who I sold it to take it and break it down, you know, it accumulates value.
Okay, please continue.
Yeah, so what happened is that I just got involved, you know, 19 years old when I started, basically looking for an opportunity, and that was the first opportunity that I saw that was valuable for me, and I took that opportunity. I eventually got arrested. The guy that I was getting my drugs from set me up, called me for a buy. I go to the buy, and it's a setup. I wind up going to prison. I wind up doing a total of 20 years in prison. I had a life sentence. I wasn't supposed to be released out of prison. But I wind up winning my appeal. I got released. Now that I'm out, I learned my lesson of the heels of the drug war, of prohibition, and while I was in custody, you know, we're going to trial. The guy who introduced me to drugs testified against me. And then we found out that he was working for not only the DEA, but also the CIA. So he basically didn't do any time in jail. He got caught with, I think, 10 tons of cocaine or something like that there. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but much, much larger than mine, because he sold not only to me, but other guys in other parts of the country as well. So when Gary broke the story and I found out everything that was going on, and then later on the CIA admits that they knew these guys were selling drugs, but they didn't authorize it, I'm like, wow, you know, Rick, maybe you have been duped, because I felt I was a rebel. You know, I thought that I was going against the government, because I felt that the government had been holding me from other good things in life that they wouldn't let me enjoy. So I said, well, maybe this is just one of the things that they're trying to keep away from. Well, after I went to jail, and I said, you know what, man, you got to change your thinking. There's so many young black guys up in here that got caught up in this crack epidemic that, you know, you got to stop this. You know, you influence these guys to sell drugs, so now you got to influence these
guys. And for those that don't know the whole story, you've now been out while you were in, but now while you're out, preaching against drug use and things like that, saying it's not cool, and now they're wanting to throw you back in jail.
Absolutely.
I guess they don't like you cutting in on their profits.
Well, you know, that's what it looks like. That these people, I mean, you know, they don't want me talking to kids. One of the things that I'm going to court this week as they send that the message that I'm preaching is the wrong message. That that I'm encouraging kids to sell drugs. When I tell them, you know, you sell drugs, you're going to do 20 years in prison and you may get a life sentence. They say that that's the wrong message. They don't want that message out. So this is his way of silencing me. By putting me
that's how they spin it. They say, you're telling kids it's horrible, don't do it. You're killing your people. Because I've seen the videos online. Don't ever use them. Stay away from it. Believe it from me. Drug dealers aren't shouldn't be your icons. And the government's saying that teaches them to use drugs. Don't do it. No, they want those little black kids and others in there. They want them on the crack. They want them using that globalist drugs that they're shipping in. And so you've got a lot of courage. You could cower to them. I know because I've talked to you and I've talked to Kevin about this. You could cower, shut up, and they'd leave you alone. But instead, you're coming out and telling folks what they're doing to you.
Absolutely, Alex. I see what you do. I mean, you know, when I was in prison, you tried to come down there and talk to me when I was in prison. They wouldn't allow that.
Yes.
And you know, when I see guys like you, who this doesn't even affect you per se, you know, but you're sticking your neck out. And I'm saying, well, you know what? If he can stick his neck out for me, then I got to stick my neck out for the rest of these kids. But you know, Alex, now, they don't arrest these guys who get on the radio and rap to the kids who've never sold drugs and tell them that they should be selling drugs, that selling drugs is wonderful. Universal puts out, I don't know how many records every day, and it's on the radio over and over again, these kids telling these kids how much money they make in selling drugs and how wonderful the drug business is, and they got this car and they got this many girls, and it makes the drug dealers, I mean, the drug life seem so wonderful. So when I go out and I tell them that this guy is lying, this guy never sold drugs, this guy's only telling you this to make you buy his records and to follow in his footsteps, and he don't care if you go out and sell drugs and buy his records and buy his clothes and buy the things, you're going to go to prison. He's never going to go to prison. If he was a real drug dealer, he couldn't say that because they would lock him up just like they would do me.
Well, that's powerful. So you are speaking out against drugs, and they're like, kids all over America are listening to Ricky Ross. We've got the article linked in red along with the video at InfoWars.com in the featured news section, targeting the real enemy, Occupy the Federal Reserve. Instead of just demonizing capitalism and all of Wall Street, I'm going to go up to the Fed this Friday, 6 o'clock, and I'm calling on folks to stay there for weeks if need be, rotating in and out to get massive media attention on the private Federal Reserve. Please get that press release and video out to all activists. We need your help, folks. This is key. We're doing it all over the country as well. Now, Ricky Ross, Frio Ricky Ross, of course, you know, one of the icons, you know, out there of East Coast drug dealing, and his case helped expose the CIA West Coast and the whole CIA crack cocaine epidemic, the congressional hearings, all of it. And freewayrick.com is one of his sites where you can find out how to write the judge, where you can let them know that there's media attention on this. But what powerful information he's talking about. That this is what Prodigy, Mobb Deep, and others have talked about. This is what KRS-One has talked about, has been on the show. When you promote a culture of gang fighting and drug dealing, MTV puts you on. But when you speak out against that, even if you're an icon, they try to shut you up. Now, here's Freeway Ricky Ross coming out with street cred and speaking out against this, and they're trying to throw him back in jail. What can we do to keep you out of jail, sir?
Well, I would say if people would contact the judge, if they heard about the things that I've been doing on the street, I got quite a few letters from the school. You know, the kids are telling me that my speak with them was eye-opening and heartfelt, and now they're redirecting their lives. So, you know, when you hear people say that they're refocusing, they're looking at life different, you know, then that's just a wonderful thing to happen. But right now, the best thing that we could do is contact the judge. Hopefully, you know, I've been out of jail almost 3 years now and haven't committed a crime. I've been going speaking for police officers. They have a few police officers in L.A. that have a different way of looking at it now, that they're not looking at incarceration the way that they used to, and they said that it hasn't been working. So they invite me down to speak at some of their seminars and whatnot. So, you know, I've really been, you know, Alex, just educating people. And really just talking out against this system.
And that's why they want to put you back in jail. What are you facing, 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months. I mean, and don't get me wrong, 6 months is no time for me. I did 20 years. I done did 6 months in the hole. So, you know, when they say 6 months in jail, it's not a whole lot of time. But I feel that it's time that's going to be wasted.
And yeah, but you know they're going to nickel and dime you again. They could do something to you in there. They can keep throwing you back in there over and over again. And listen, I want to talk about this, Fast and Furious. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's been in the El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune, and a few other papers, that in the court documents, the government's come in and said, yeah, it's true. The Sinaloa drug head of U.S. operations, when he got grabbed by the Mexicans and extradited, the U.S. is admitting, okay, he did work for us, we did give him guns, and he is allowed to ship cocaine in by the ton. I mean, they're constantly being caught. The Marines are ordered to grow the opium in Afghanistan along with the Army, and then they got to put you back in jail when you dealt drugs for the CIA?
Yeah, that's the size of it. That's absolutely the size of it. And like you said, I think that they're more interested in putting me back because they don't want people to see what I see now and to see things from my eyesight.
Well, it was Kevin Booth really worked to help get you out as well. We're going to break her in a moment, but just in a minute, Kevin, what do you make of this?
Just business as usual. People have a way to make a living. I mean, I'm working on a sequel to American Drug War right now where, you know, I'm not going to name names or get into it, but I've got a, you know, people that were actually caught shipping drugs in for cartels, and when they got caught by the U.S. government, got put into shipping the same drugs for the same cartels, but then the Border Patrol agents would bring it across the border.
Yeah, they had Border Patrol agents 100 miles in trying to search my vehicle this weekend. And I said, look, you're drug dealers on video. It's up on the web. I said, you guys deal the drugs. I'm not cutting in on your business. I'm not a cowboy. They just smiled and said, you can go. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Trio Ricky Ross is our guest. FreewayEnterprise.com is the site. FreewayEnterprise.com to send letters to the judge and say, hey, this guy, you can go watch the YouTube videos the last 3 years speaking to kids saying, don't use drugs. It's not cool. But he's also talking about government drug dealing and things. They have the big VH1 highly rated special Planet Rock that he's the centerpiece of, and they admit it's the biggest false incarceration ever to cover up CIA drug dealing. That's why they want to put him back in jail. Because he's really starting to get attention. There's all sorts of movie deals going on. They don't want his story getting out there right now. That's why they're doing this. Kevin Booth, you were just bringing up that VH1 special during the break. Give us your take on why they want to throw Ricky back behind bars.
Well, like you said, I mean, people are starting to accept him as a legitimate voice. You know, I mean, you've had all these rappers out there saying all these things for years on both sides that it's both glamorous and not glamorous, and then you've got the other rapper, I'm not going to mention his name, but it sounds familiar, sounds a lot like Ricky Ross's name, that has been putting out platinum records, getting all this attention, and now Ricky just kind of comes out of nowhere, and he's building this huge legitimate following, and people are starting to take him serious, and he doesn't really have like a pony in the race, per se, like all these other guys do. He's just kind of telling it how it was.
When you got a bunch of pretenders and then the real guy shows up, it's like Ulysses shows up after 20 years being gone and everybody's taking over his house in his name.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And you know, I've been fighting hard to get that back because I'm like, you know, how can you write these? Who's writing these songs for you? You know, where are you getting these stories from? You know, and you was a correctional officer. You worked for the government. And you know they're not going to let me work for the government with my record, with my history, how they think about me. So if they let a guy who comes in and he's worked for the government, you already know that they checked him out thoroughly. And they know exactly what he's done and what he's not going to do.
Kevin?
I think it's interesting that one of the reasons that Ricky's getting in trouble right now, they're trying to claim, is because Ricky's out there actually working for free. And that they can't accept the fact that, you know, he's like traveling around doing all this stuff and not making any money for it. And that's one of the, like, isn't that one of the angles that they're using?
Yeah, it is. They're wondering, how am I able to travel? And what happened, a guy saw what I was doing, and he works for the airline. He just told me, he put me on his buddy pass. So, you know, some days I have to sleep in the airport for 2 days, you know, to get on the airplane when a seat opens up. But, you know, for the kids and to get my message out, you know, I'll do that. And he can't understand.
Well, Ricky, you know, that's ridiculous. Instead of everybody letting them, you know, take your name and claim big deals and all this, you should just put out a basic DVD with images talking about your history and have some, you know, somebody sell it. And I guarantee you, you'd make enough money to live comfortably and be able to travel around and get your message out that way instead of sleeping in airports. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it has been tough, Alex, but you know, I'm committed to doing this. You know, when I was in prison, when we talked, when I was in prison, I told you that what I wanted to do and that I was going to fight against this drug war and with the message that they're preaching, you know, on our records and through our airwaves, because I believe that they're brainwashing our kids. You know, they're brainwashing our kids into believing that if you're not a drug dealer, that you're nothing. You're not important. And I think that that's wrong to teach a kid the way he's willing to die for it. You know, Alex, when I was coming up, I was willing to die for this drug stuff. And right now they're teaching our kids that if you don't have this, you're nothing. You're not important, so you might as well be dead.
Wow. I mean,
it's interesting. It's interesting if you look at the cartels. I don't know if you've studied how much about the cartels you've studied, that these guys actually build mausoleums for themselves over there with air conditioning. And they, it's actually become a culture over there in Mexico where they worship these guys that die at the age of 21. And it's all just celebrating like how much money they made and how quick they made it. And of course, all the kids want to be like these guys. What else? How can you blame them?
Well, they've got a lot of Tejano singers pumping it up and making it sexy and cool. And that's all the CIA on record, making it glamorous, making it cool. Down in Mexico now, they're worshiping the skinny one, the Grim Reaper. And look, 40,000 dead in 3 years. I mean, this is worse than Vietnam per year. Ricky, I want to come back with you and Kevin and get back into this brainwashing the kids to okay. use the drugs. You're exposing it. They want to throw you back in jail. This is a massive travesty. You also got to watch your back like Gary Webb. Stay with us.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
All right, it is the final segment. We don't have time to get any more callers. We'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow live. And then I'm going to be broadcasting from the Federal Reserve. I'm going to go ahead and go up to Dallas Thursday night. Up there at the Dallas Fed. Then I'm going to move on Saturday and Sunday to other Federal Reserve compounds around the state of Texas. But I'm calling on people all over this area to converge and camp out at the Federal Reserve in and around on the sidewalks. If you're angry about what's happening, I want to draw attention to the actual money laundering mega banks, the big six Federal Reserve shareholders who've all been caught laundering drug money over and over again and taking houses that they didn't even have a deed to and that weren't delinquent in payments. You know, that's come out with Bank of America. And the week after that, I'm going to go and demonstrate at Bank of America, you name it, because they've been caught red-handed over and over again and not gotten in trouble. It's time to not just let the left have a bunch of controlled, you know, people protesting capitalism. And I know most of Occupy Wall Street aren't doing that. My point is we are going to go directly after the real issue. Speaking of getting this country back, Ron Paul came in third in fundraising, $8 million. Rick Perry raised $15 million, but he's got a really bad history. And the more we expose him, the more he'll fall in the polls. But again, you can go to InfoWars.com and DrudgeReport.com and other sites. Paul hauls in $8 million. Rick Perry hauls in, I'm sorry, $17 million. There you have it. Ron Paul, of course, on average had less than $50 donations. Perry, on average, had $3,000 donations, the maximum amount. It's just truly disgusting. We've got to do something about that guy. And Herman Cain's just as bad, folks. Total globalist. Talks a good game, but worked for the Federal Reserve. That's all coming up. And I'll be back, of course, tonight, 7 o'clock, with InfoWars at Nightly News at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we got G. Edward Griffin on tonight. G. Edward Griffin on tonight with us. And then we're going to do an extended interview and air the rest of it Friday on the Nightly News. So G. Edward Griffin coming up tonight, PrisonPlanet.tv, 7 o'clock. Now, going back here, I'm going to try to shut up here for the last 10 minutes, and this is so important. Get Ricky on as soon as we can after this, because I don't want him to get sent off to the hooscow again, because his testimony is so important, and he's had courage. You were getting, sir, into the fact, and you're on record, I've seen the videos, criticizing the rappers promoting the drug culture. And you're clearly saying this is brainwashing, selling it as cool. You're telling the kids it isn't cool, and they're trying to, and you've got the letters there on your site, they're trying to put you back in jail saying you're promoting a culture of drugs.
Yeah.
By saying in the drug war which puts the money into it, which pushes the culture of drugs. They're saying because you want to end prohibition that you're a drug pusher again, and then let's expand on them not letting you on with John Stossel.
Well, John Stossel had contacted me about, he heard me speaking on a NPR, I think it was, radio. And when I was on there, I talked about how if they take one drug dealer off the street, the demand is still there. So what winds up happening is from that one who controlled that area, now 10 guys want to take over that area. So now these guys are all starting to grow and become as big as this one guy was. So instead of having one guy that was controlling everything, now you got 10 guys that's fighting over this particular area. And it don't matter how many of these guys you take off the streets, somebody's going to come in and want to take that position. So I was telling them that it's like repetitive. And then even when you take this guy off the street, not only that, but the price goes up. You know, when the price goes up, then that makes people who otherwise wouldn't get involved saying, you know what, $100,000, I'm interested.
It causes more of the addicts to break in and rob liquor stores and steal copper to be able to buy the more expensive product.
Exactly. So all that is fueled by prohibition. And I really believe that this is something, because I'm also working on a movie right now with a drug addict. You know, I spoke at one of these drug houses a couple months back, and when I did, one of the drug addicts came up and she started telling me about her story, and it just reminded me of when I used to be selling, and I was inside of these houses where they used all the time, and it hit me and was so profound. I said, you know what? Nobody has told this story from the drug addict's point of view. And she said, I never wanted to be a drug addict. I wanted all the money that the drug dealers was making. But the only thing, I tried my product and got hooked. So when you look at all that, the money and prohibition is definitely one of the main attractions.
Now, you're speaking out to get rid of the prohibition that would end all this overnight, so they want to throw you back in jail because they're all part of the same system. Kevin?
Well, I was going to say, I think it's very interesting to note that, you know, back during the days of Pablo Escobar, I think, which went up to like 93, 94, something like that, I'm not sure, that as bad as it was, he kind of had like this whole system like under control. And it's kind of interesting to note that as soon as they killed him, that gave birth to this huge onslaught of the Mexican cartels. And so it's like the same old thing, like Ricky was just saying, you know, you cut off a head and 10 more heads grow. Well, you know, now the business has been taken out of even the Colombians' hand, where only the Colombians now, just all they're allowed to do is just manufacture it.
And now Rick Perry says send U.S. troops to Mexico to fight with the Mexican army. The Mexican army are the biggest drug dealers. They're fighting with the other cartels. This is an unwinnable war because you have poverty and people that can make billions of dollars off of this, and they've got a culture of death being sexy. This isn't going to end. And I think the globalists have pushed this drug war so far, it's now going to consume them. And we're hearing more and more voices in government, including conservatives, saying decriminalize now.
Yeah, no, it's turned into a turf war. I mean, at first it was just the money fueling their ability to sell cocaine, but now it's all the money they make from selling cocaine, like, fueling their turf war. And it's obvious that, you know, certain cartels, such as the Guzman del Chapo, or however you pronounce that, is totally becoming one with the government.
And you know what, too, Alex, you cannot declare war on drugs. But this war is a war on the people, plain and simple. There's no way you can fight cocaine. How can you fight cocaine when it doesn't even have any power? Cocaine is powerless. It's only the only power that cocaine has is what the people give it. We make it valuable. When you look at a coca leaf, what is a coca leaf? It's no more valuable than the grass that grow out in our yard, but it's the value that we put on it. When we make it valuable, then that's when everything gets crazy.
I just think that we need to start examining, like, what, like, an end to prohibition could really look like, because you always get the same thing. You know, people are like going, so you're saying that you should be able to buy crystal meth at a 7-Eleven and all this? I mean, I think people on our side need to start coming up with, like, a real definition of
it's what Ron Paul says. You regulate it, and it's seen as a disease, and Europe's done it in most areas, and the use goes way down. So them claiming Ron Paul wants two-year-olds to inject stuff. I can buy methamphetamine behind a 7-Eleven here in town. I can drive down to East 11th and buy crack cocaine right now if I want to. And
downtown the cops, LA too. It's wide open. I mean, they stand out on the street with it all day long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I've driven through certain areas of town, going to different community events and stuff, and have the crack dealers run up and, hey, let me give it to you. Yeah. And there's cop cars driving right by, and they're not doing anything about it. Now, I want to expand on this. Kevin, you got cut off by a break earlier. You were bringing up, and this has actually come out, that you know people would get busted bringing drugs in, and the government would say, we're going to let you go, but now you're going to deliver it through this Border Patrol agent. And I'm not, our Border Patrol's got a lot of good men and women in it, but let's be honest. A lot of them, especially the supervisors, they're some of the biggest drug dealers in this country, and it's come out that Sinaloa is allowed to ship right through those border checkpoints. They've got them 100 miles into the state, and they flag them and let them come through. And I will not let the Border Patrol, known for drug dealing, search my car looking for their products. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been in deal with a Border Patrol agent that flagged them through. And somehow they didn't go along with the system, and they throw them in there with us. So absolutely, I've seen that firsthand.
Kevin, tell us about your sources.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, I'm going to protect my sources right now because I'm working on
it. I don't mean tell us who they are. I mean, tell us the information.
Well, this guy was, like, flying shipments for a cartel. He was landing, you know, on the American side of the border. He got caught. He got turned into an informant. And the only thing that changed was where they wanted him to land. You know, so they just started having him land up right here. That's all that changed. And then they took it from there, and that was it. And that's how he stayed out of prison.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, Kevin. Well, you've done so much great work.
Yeah, I appreciate you too, Kevin, with all the work you've done for me when I was in prison and the things that you've been doing for me since I've been out, because you really, you know, Kevin has helped me get a job and you know, things that a lot of other guys just getting out of prison didn't have, and I really appreciate that. And you too, Alex, you guys have really supported me. You know, when I got out of prison, I remember you asked me on the air, was I thinking about committing suicide, or did I have any suicidal tendencies? So just those things that you guys have done for me have really been helpful, and I still don't plan on committing suicide, Alex. I still love life. If I had to go back and do 6 months, absolutely would not kill me. Okay.
Well, that's important to say. Absolutely.
I'm going to study. And when I come out, I'm going to get right back on the same plan.
Wonderful, Ricky. Yeah. What were you saying, Kevin?
I was going to say, and the difference between Ricky and the rest of them is that Ricky never got high off his own supply.
Absolutely.
Now let's.
I don't drink alcohol and I don't smoke cigarettes either.
No, I've seen the videos of you out there giving speeches. You look super, super fit for your age. In closing here, people need to stop this travesty of justice. You're out there telling kids not to use drugs, but you're also saying in this failed drug war, it's been great for the banks making the money, but it's been a failure for us, the people. It is a war on our liberties. They put it out there, and when we pick it up, they put us in jail for it. It'd be like if they said, if you have a gray rock in your pocket, you go to prison. And then the government comes and dump trucks of gray rocks in front of schools. I mean, you know, that's the big criminal activity. So folks need to go to freewayenterprise.com or freewayrick.com. They need to go there. They need to send letters. And they need to also support what you're doing, Ricky.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate everybody's support. And I won't stop doing what I'm doing. I love y'all.
Well, we appreciate your courage as well. Even though you've been threatened. Kevin, we appreciate you, my friend. I'll say bye to you guys. I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, Central, PrisonPlanet.tv. All right, retransmission starts now.